Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Check. And Andy. And Andy?
Dental park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of the school. What? Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday. Hey, Gino. It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium and Media Day. Large media contingent in the Patriots locker room. Brady holding his press conference at his locker. I walked in, and you couldn't see Brady, but you could see just a big, big crowd of people around his locker as he spoke.
I think he's full of
The guys are in there now, Paul and Andy, Eric. They'll be back any minute now with a full report from the locker room. I know Andy was talking to Algie Crumpler, and I don't know what Paul was doing. He was just kind of standing in the middle of the locker holding court, but we'll see what they have to say. Lively show yesterday, as expected, after a big win. But, you know, something interesting I was thinking about, this is the second game in a row for the Patriots where a really, really great win has been overshadowed by something off the field. You know, last week, not last week, but the last game, it was the Moss trade right after the Miami game, and that, you know, took over, you know, the talk for the week. And then this week, it's these helmet-to-helmet hits that have kind of overshadowed the game. And, of course, Brandon Merriweather was involved in that. Word came out yesterday that he is being fined 50,000 large for two hits in that game. I think one was he tried to hit him, and one he actually did with Todd Heap. So he's going to be fined 50 large. James Harrison from Pittsburgh is being fined 75,000 for repeat occurrence of helmet-to-helmet. So this is, I guess, phase one of the NFL's attempt to really crack down on these types of hits. And, you know, it's been said by Ray Anderson, the VP of operations for the league, that suspensions from here on in, you know, could be coming. It'll be at the discretion of the league once they review tape. So, you know, players be warned. We'll get your reaction on that. I think most people think that this is a good thing. That, you know, when it comes to player safety, in my opinion, there's plenty of ways to blow up a guy without having to, you know, go headhunting or use your helmet as a weapon. And, you know, those of us who have played football before, we can remember the first time we were taught how to tackle, you know, in Pop Warner.
That was back when they had leather helmets, right, Fred?
True. True, that's true. So, you know, you couldn't lead with your head back then. But still, the proper way to tackle, they always tell you to bull your neck, you know, and square up and all that stuff and drive through the guy with your shoulder pads. has nothing to do with using the crown of your helmet as a weapon. And so, you know, I think this is a good thing. I think that most guys that get caught doing this, I don't think they're intending to hurt the other guy. But the product of what they're doing, because they're using bad technique, this is what happens. And I've said for a long time, it's a very simple thing. I don't think it would cure all the bad hits. But if guys would simply lead with their arms out in front of them, you know, intending to make a tackle, I think it would, you know, not eliminate, but it, you know, it would cut down on the amount of helmet-to-helmet hits. If you go in trying to make a tackle, it's a lot different than just simply going in trying to make a hit, using your body as a missile with your arms down by your side. You have no intention of wrapping up after you make the hit. And that's what all this is coming from. You know, it's the non-attempt of making a tackle and simply just trying to blow the guy up with your helmet. And I think it is a good thing that they try to, you know, cut down on this, whatever means they can. You know, the last thing anyone wants to see, and we've seen it before, guy lying there without being able to move his arms and legs. That's what this is all about. Anything you can do to prevent that, you've got to do it. You know, so we'll see. Paul's here now. Hey, Paul.
We saw it on Saturday in a college game.
Yeah.
You know, one of Devin McCourty's former teammates.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a scary thing, and it's one that's being taken very seriously in that locker room. Just try to talk to some of the defensive backs. Brandon Merriweather opted to make a statement and just talked about – Andy heard a little bit more of it than I did, but just talked about trying to stay within the rules, understanding the importance of that, and just kind of wanting to put it behind him, moving on. And Andy, anything else you want to add to that?
I don't know. Is my mic on? I never know.
Oh, boy.
Should I wait till 10 minutes into the show? Traditionally, that's when they turn my mic on.
We were in the midst of a serious topic for a change.
You know, that was basically, he wanted to move on. I couldn't see, there was a huge crowd, I could hear more than I could see, and at one point, it almost seemed like he got a little choked up, and then had an awkward, nervous laugh, and that's when he said, to be honest with you, I just wanted to go away. And he talked about, you know, playing my game within the rules and the way coaches teach me. And beyond that, he wants to move on to San Diego and won't address it anymore.
But I did get to talk to a couple of other guys. McCourty was one. He didn't really want to get more into it. He talked a little bit yesterday about the situation with his teammate, his former teammate at Rutgers, and talked to Kyle Arrington and Patrick Chung, and they were very cautious. Obviously, this is something that's been discussed behind closed doors with the organization, and they were not willing to sort of really get into their opinions on the matter, but just talked about trying hard not to change the way they play, but being cognizant of how to play, how to stay within the rules, basically what Brandon said, and just kind of going from there, you know, making sure that you don't lose your aggressiveness and your physicality, but doing so within the rules. That was basically what both of them said.
And I actually think this week they've been told, if it's not about the San Diego Chargers and preparing for the San Diego Chargers, don't address it.
Absolutely.
Because Algie Crumpler wouldn't talk about being a captain, wouldn't talk about anything the Ravens did to them in terms of safeties. It's Chargers. And it kind of reminded me, I don't want to bring up, but remember Bill saying, anybody want to talk about the Chargers a couple of years ago with certain issues they wanted to put in the rearview mirror? I heard more guys say about the Chargers, or they're a good football team at home. They can embarrass you at home. They can blow you out at home. It's blinders are on, and it's Chargers and nothing else this week is the impression.
Focus.
But
what do you want me to tell you?
To the point where I thought a lot of guys were on edge. Clearly, they had been warned, don't talk about anything. Like, yeah. They were uncomfortable.
Well, there's no doubt the defensive backs were uncomfortable when I was
But that's a specific issue. Yeah. Algie Crumpler's just talking about, more times I heard him say, you know, it's on to the Chargers. That, you know, the hits thing, that was an issue yesterday. It's not today. Today, it's the Chargers. The Ravens had their safeties closed. Well, that's the Ravens. We're on to the Chargers. Everything was Chargers, more so than normal.
I said, you know, at the top of the show that this is the second win in a row for the Patriots where, you know, the win itself was overshadowed by something off-field. Against Miami, the Moss trade, that dominated the talk after the win. And then this week, the helmet-to-helmet. Yeah. You know?
You're right. I think the Miami one was more so, but you're right. There has been a lot of talk about this week, the physicality and the hits.
You know, so I think Merriweather's taken the right approach.
I do, too.
I thought today he definitely took the right approach.
I think some people will misunderstand the little laugh for not taking it seriously rather than I think he was ridiculously uncomfortable.
Right.
Beyond that, I thought he said what you need to say. You know, I want to move on. I want to do it the way the coaches tell me. And this is in the past. I thought he did a fine job. I just hope people don't take that little laugh and assume
it was a nervous,
it's him being immature again.
Yeah. You called it a nervous laugh.
Yeah, because I think he was this close between tear or laughter, and he chose a little awkward laugh, a nervous laugh, rather than cry.
And evidently, Peter King sent something out today that Rodney.
Well, supposedly, the two of them spoke, and Rodney said, "Don't make the same mistakes that I made."
Well, I want to make a clear distinction. And this is meant as a defense that'll come off as a bit of a shot at Brandon Merriweather. I don't think he is intentionally trying to hurt people, violent. I think he plays a certain style. He may be a little misguided or unintelligent with his level of play. I think it's different from James Harrison. I think James Harrison does try to play beyond the line, does try to hurt people. As he said, I'm trying to hurt people, not injure them. I think Merriweather's just immature, and that's how he plays, but there's no intent in my mind.
Right.
To me, it's more football stupidity than football negligence or intent to injure.
He needs
to smarten up as a player, but not, it's not at his core to try to hurt people. He's not Jack Tatum trying to,
to call out the Patriots' defensive captain, and I know everything out down there is in the heat of the battle, but, a couple weeks ago when he twists the guy's ankle, that is worse than what Merriweather does, because Merriweather is a split-second decision, but at the end of the play, if you kind of twist the guy's leg, I mean, that's old school, I'm going to hurt you,
Please don't get mad at me.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't remember?
Oh. Will Fork or Mayo?
Mayo.
Okay.
Mayo twisted a guy's ankle on purpose?
Yeah, well, according to the other guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm not being a smart, typical
the other
Paul.
Guy?
And I
know nothing about that.
I mean, they mentioned it on TV, too.
Who was the other guy?
I forget.
Which team?
The last home game.
Buffalo?
Buffalo.
The Miami Bills.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So CJ Spiller.
But that type of stuff happens a lot, the eye gouging, the grabbing of the packages and all that stuff. That's intentional. That's intentional trying to hurt a guy.
And this looks intentional, but I think it's unintentionally intentional. I don't think he wants the play to end with Todd Heap on a stretcher, whereas I'm not sure James Harrison doesn't want the play to end with a guy on a stretcher. I think there's a difference between those two players, and everybody's getting lumped together
Now. But I also think that...
I also don't think Dante Robinson should have got anything. Yeah.
I think
that
Dante
was a collision
Robinson
at a high speed.
Yeah,
and it was with the shoulder.
You just have
Kyle
to
Arrington
use
actually
good
said
technique.
That.
No more arms down by the side being a missile.
Head at their head.
You have to at least look like you're trying to attempt to tackle the guy. I think. I think that's one of the indicators that the referees need to look at, or the officials need to look at after the game when they're reviewing this stuff. Was there an attempt to tackle? And then from there, who knows what the guy with the ball does. If he lowers,
As sold on just the tackle. I think tackling will help, but hitting is a part of football too, not just tackling. There's a place for hitting in the game of football. It's part of the game.
But we were all taught hit and wrap up.
Yes.
But there's no wrapping up going
hitting
on.
Hitting is part. This isn't just rugby where you just wrap up and the intent is only to pull a guy down.
No, I know.
There is an intent to hit.
Sure.
Hitting
I was,
is part of
I was
game.
Taught.
Legal hitting.
I was taught you aim a couple yards beyond the guy, and you want to drive through him.
And you roll your hips.
Right.
I can't say what
easy.
John Casey called it at Tufts.
You want to just blow the guy up.
Exactly.
There's
a place for that in the game. Legal hitting, there's a place.
But never with your helmet. Never, ever got mentioned by any coach.
Right.
Use your helmet.
Right.
Right.
Ever.
Exactly. But I'm saying it's not just about wrapping and tackling. Putting a shoulder in a guy's
chest,
his stomach, in his hip.
Yeah.
That's hitting, and there's a part for in the game of football that I really like.
Yes.
There's a place for that.
Absolutely.
I don't want to see it go to just strictly wrapping up and arm tackles. I don't want to see that. I want to see hitting.
But everybody's been mentioning Ronnie Lott and John Lynch and all that stuff. I was going to say Mike Lynch from Swampscott, the kicker. But I also remember watching guys like Willie Lanier. And
I'm out.
Other guys like that who just absolutely blew guys up, including quarterbacks, with their shoulders, just
plowing through them and, you know, just destroying guys, clean hits.
Yeah,
you can
there were
do
also
it.
Dirty ones, too.
Sure.
Don't tell me Dick Butkus wasn't dirty.
No, absolutely there okay. were dirty ones.
So there's been a glorification of this for decades.
Right.
It's but, not just but, a modern
but,
era
but
thing.
But my point
it's
is...
different, but it's not
no,
new.
But my point is that you can do it with a clean hit. You can get
right.
that effect that you like there, that you know the one that you love about football. You can do it cleanly.
Bring your head down 2 feet.
Yeah.
It's got to be down in the body, no head-to-head.
So,
but my point is, I still have. I'm okay with launching to some degree in the midsection. Treat yourself,
right,
as you said.
Right.
I'm trying to put myself through you.
Launch,
I'm aiming 2 yards.
Launching,
beyond you.
But not with the crown of your helmet.
Right.
Right.
Launching my shoulder
right.
into a gut or a
right.
thigh
exactly.
or whatever.
Absolutely.
But it seems like they're trying to get that out of it too, because I think they feel like if they can take away kind of the launching and the emphasis on the big hit, that'll help, and then maybe you can let it trickle back in once you clean up the... I think that's the idea here, is they're believing they need to... What do they say? You need an axe instead of a scalpel. I think they're going to use an axe from now on.
I was watching Trent Dilfer on ESPN Boston. They had Trent Dilfer, Teddy Bruschi, and...
Did Trent Dilfer talk about the gladiatorial nature of the game?
No, it was Dilfer,
he just made up a word.
And they had Dwight Freeney out at Bristol, and they were demonstrating, and Freeney was saying, you know, you don't have to go for the head. You can go for the gut, and you can still crush a sternum. It's like, okay, let's go for crushed sternums now.
But I get his point. He's
yeah,
trying to feed
right.
the beast, and the beast wants blood, essentially.
Right.
And he's saying you can get blood, you don't have to get head blood.
Right. You know, and look, I think even the most macho of these guys, you know, don't want to see guys paralyzed. Don't want to see guys with debilitating injuries
I
that will affect their livelihood later on in life.
I believe that to be true for all of them.
Yeah.
I do, even though guys say stupid stuff like James Harrison's
see,
acting
See, I
like
don't
a,
think he wants
James
paralysis.
Harrison's acting
I think
like
he's
a,
fine with injury.
He's
yeah.
acting like a baby right now.
Yeah. Oh, he even said he wanted to retire.
He's contemplating retirement.
Yeah. He's being a little kid.
He's being a baby, and he's saying stupid things. I don't believe that they go out there and they want to hurt other people.
Well, he's showing signs of rage.
What kind of rage?
Well, that's an interesting point, too,
yeah.
you know, for all those cliches, because
yeah.
that ain't natural, as they say.
Right. All right, so webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline.
What's up, Ace?
So that's on the table. Of course, the Patriots win. We're still basking in the glow of another good team win. This one over, who'd they play? The Baltimore Ravens, is that right?
Pretty good team now. You might want to remember it. Pretty
and we're on the hump now. So now
one of the best games I can for a while, several years.
This is kind of the day where
especially we eliminate Colts.
We kind of turn away from the game they just played and start to look forward to the game they're about to play in San Diego against a 2-4 Chargers team, number one in the league, total offense and defense. I don't know when the last time after 6 weeks. A team rated that way had a 2-4 or even just a losing record. It'd be interesting to find out. Maybe Mike Reese can help us out with that or strippers, one or the other. They're both kind of the same, you know,
in very different ways. That's the last time those two will be compared.
That's true.
All right.
Chargers banged up, though. Don't leave that
banged
out.
Up.
That's
let's,
a big part of this
yeah,
story.
Huge.
Injury reports haven't come out yet, but we know that.
They're saying that they don't expect Floyd to play, and they don't expect the kicker to play, Nate Keating.
Yep.
And we talked about Gage yesterday.
Yep. So all that and more. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I got to pee.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
Yeah, let's go. All right, want to just let people know on patriots.com, you can go there right now and help out a couple Patriots. Cunningham was nominated for Rookie Player of the Week. So you want to go and vote for him in that. That'd be great if he could win that. And Deion Branch
if
was...
If you could.
If you could.
If you don't mind.
And Deion Branch was nominated for some type of GMC Never Say Never Award. I don't know what it means, but he's nominated.
What if it's a bad thing?
No, I think it's a good thing. So
what could be bad from his performance? I mean, he was tremendous.
Right.
I was obviously joking.
On and off the field, there was nothing bad.
I was making light of the fact that Fred's endorsing someone for an award that he doesn't know anything about.
Does he get whatever a trunk? Whatever it is, go vote for Deion Branch. And
trunk guy.
And is it Jermaine Cunningham?
Yes.
What's his name?
He's up for Rookie of the Week. I thought he had a good game, but
it might
I wasn't
be
that impressed.
Defensive
how do you
know Rookie
what,
of the
How
week.
Do you know what other rookies do?
Yeah, we don't know what the other rookies
Sam Bradford?
Are.
He's offense.
Well, what if it's defensive Rookie of the Week?
Did you say that?
I don't know.
Well, he did say that. I mean, yeah, good point by you. It may not be what the award is.
But vote for those guys. You can find that on patriots.com.
Okay.
Were you going to say something before I...
No, still trying to get Jermaine Cunningham to talk, though, and he won't...
He's still a rookie who can't talk.
He won't
yeah, I talked to Gronkowski today.
McCourty.
Web radio...
Who else I talked to? That was
Hernandez
a rookie.
Hernandez talked a little bit. Did you mention your attire?
No.
Should we?
If you like.
Fred has a... Is that peach?
I would say it's a Melba.
What? Toast?
A peach Melba.
Hey, guys.
Fred has a Melba shirt on today. Chinos, is that what you call them?
Khakis.
And then white and blue, brand new, bright as can be.
Reeboks.
Are they Zigzags? Is that the official
name?
Zig-Tech.
Zig-Tech sneakers on.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
They're actually really comfortable shoes.
That's what Fred says.
Exactly. My knee's been bothering me, and I wanted a pair of comfortable shoes to walk around in.
It's too bad you couldn't get the pink ones like Bill has.
Oh, it's right here. If there was a Nike store, I would have gone there probably. You know, it's right here at Patriot Place for all your shopping needs.
Presented by Raytheon.
Live fun.
Right. So
that was shop, dine, enjoy.
I was just wondering why you're wearing sneakers with pants.
Should I wear them with shorts?
That's a fair question.
What the hell?
I'm doing it.
Yeah,
but you always do it because you're always running on the field. And no offense, but you're an idiot.
I just told you, my knee's been bothering me.
He has 26 guys under him. How many does Fred have?
You had to decide to play Brandon Merriweather saying, right after he was getting bitched out by the head coach for a 15-yard penalty.
That is
crowd reacted. I'll take it.
Positively?
Yeah, they booed.
No, they didn't boo that.
They booed for a lot of that game the other day. Matter of fact,
just the third quarter.
Will Fluck talked about it.
Is that automated, or did somebody actually make a conscious decision? I'm going to put Merriweather on the big screen right now.
Yeah, please tell me it's automated.
It definitely wasn't Merriweather after that hit. Oh, it was Banta Kane after the hit.
I'm telling you that Andy and I saw shortly after the hit.
I actually even got an email about it.
No Sox and I both agree, as the people who were sitting there, it was Tully after the hit.
Tully was first.
Shortly
but
after
it was within
the hit,
5 minutes,
Merriweather
it
came
was
up.
Too close
he
for
may,
comfort.
He may have been
too close
on
for,
that drive.
He should have been taken
was,
out of the rotation.
Of being benched
we
at the time when you played. He had been
job.
Benched. Benched. And you were playing it. That you don't see a problem with that?
No.
How many guys do you have
then
to
you
choose?
Then you truly are an idiot.
How many guys do you have to choose from for that type
two.
Of
two.
Those two.
Well, that's the problem, Andy.
To me, nothing playing is better than that. In my opinion, you make an executive decision when something like that happens during the game, and you don't play it. Like, just for argument's sake, let's go with a really dark hypothetical. What if Brandon Merriweather had gotten hurt in the game, seriously injured? Do you want him up 10 minutes later
Clearly,
because that's
Brandon
one of the
Merriweather
other two guys?
Got hurt, we wouldn't have played it.
Well, in this case, you shouldn't have played it. Same thing.
I mean,
something happened in the game that
you know we had
prevented.
Another one, but the guy got traded. You haven't seen that one either.
Did you get any starters or relatively important contributors?
No, we've asked.
This team goes like 17 deep on starters on both sides of the ball, and you guys have rotational players.
You would find the three players that don't play on
it,
a full side.
It
basis.
Seems to me, though, Doc, if you couch this as a competitive advantage. The team should help you out because, you know, we're always talking about whatever we can do to get a competitive advantage. More guys we have there to make noise, the better it'll be.
You know, I didn't think about asking the team to help us out. That made too much sense.
In all seriousness, I don't know if...
If I told you what half of the players said to us, I couldn't
the
say
the best
it
guy
show.
Would be
no,
Rob Gronkowski because he's a whack
job. Someone tell them to do it.
He would be
he's
in
a rookie.
No rookies are allowed? Okay.
Well, that's half the team.
Well, it's true.
All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
I miss being down here with you guys. I really do.
I don't. I
just go get a pizza.
You're doing a fine job. My microphone is actually on, unlike yesterday when the half the show it wasn't.
Where's Kevin?
The half?
He's on a bus to New York City right now with the New England Revolution to produce the radio broadcast tomorrow.
Limping to a finish.
Wow. They're taking buses now, huh? It's
just
really,
to New York.
That's tough.
They stink.
We're going to be busing to San Diego on this week on Friday.
We might have to bus. Now, the team, we got our itinerary. The team will be wearing a team-issued sweatsuits. It's a casual plane ride.
Do they have to? They're all going to wear the same
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, and I
kind of like
told,
when they went to London.
I told management that PFW would be wearing PFW sweatsuits.
And it zigtex.
That's why he's got the sneakers on.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
If I had known about this in advance, I probably would have, we should have got sweatsuits.
You guys should all just wear the...
that would be
God
funny.
I'm not going.
No, you guys should wear the jackets that Bill from Beaver Creek sent you with the little name tag that says Fred PFW.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's what I want. Call more attention to myself.
Pretty sure the sweatsuits would call attention to you.
Exactly.
508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline now is Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys.
It's
how you
Brad.
Doing?
Good.
Yeah, nice game Sunday.
It
outstanding.
Sure was.
One of the most entertaining games that they've had in about 3 or 4 years.
It's true. That is very true since the 2007 season. But, no, it's always nice to work in Maryland and be a Patriots fan when you beat the Ravens. So nice week for me this week. A few things about the game, then I wanted to make a comment about the headhunting situation that's captivated the world. You were discussing yesterday about, you know, Fred, and I know I was watching Curse Words while I was watching the game, and everybody was down all game long, and you finally said, you know, if you're down, leave. And I never doubted that Brady could score twice to win that game. I will admit, it was my fear that the defense would give up more points.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's why the defense won that game.
And, yeah. Brad, it's not like when I said that, I was, like, absolutely confident that they were going to win the game. I was just really getting tired
of
the comments.
I agree with you. No, I agreed, yeah. I agreed with you. I'm not disagreeing with what you did. I'm saying that I think you were trying to get that message across to people of, look, give us a chance to win this thing, will you? You know, it's not like we were losing by 30 points.
Exactly. It's not, you know, you would think that – Seriously, you would think it was the Oakland Raiders from the comments that we were getting.
Well, not only that, people were making out like we were losing 38-12, yeah. And there was only 3 minutes left in the game.
And it wasn't even the game. It was the season was over. Because you guys only see what I publish. I'm getting hundreds of comments, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I noticed. You didn't publish one of mine, and I put in like 12, so that's all right.
Oh, okay.
I don't hold that against you.
Clearly.
Well, no, because a lot of comments come in, and they basically say the same thing. Yeah. So I just, you know, just put one in.
I thought you'd put in the one where I said, as soon as Mesko did the 65-yard punt, he gets a game ball even if we lose. Because that, to me, that was the turning point of that overtime.
Huge punt in a critical situation.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, he had a decent day punting all game long, but boy, when we needed to flip the field, he flipped the field.
Yep.
And, then, of course, Baltimore did their paramount meltdown like they have every year, other than the playoffs for the last 5 years.
That punt reminded me of the free kick in Denver, a few years ago, the safety game.
Yep.
Longer than that now. But
no, I know what you mean, where they left the safety.
It was mishandled. They should have fielded the kick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the key play of the game, and Bill said it on Monday.
For some
reason they didn't come up and field it.
They didn't make them, and we're getting back to the time when the Patriots make them.
Huge,
we've seen the Patriots
huge,
not make
huge
those key
play.
Plays.
Right.
Well, and
I thought
me,
the penalty on McClain.
Yeah,
is an example of that's a stupid play at a stupid time.
Yep.
Right.
And you
boys
know what?
Do that.
We've all been hassling Cunningham for not blowing on the scene and having six sacks by now. Jeepers, creepers, the guy did not retaliate. And that
actually,
was.
I think he instigated.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay.
It was the other way around.
If you can goad him into doing it. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was.
If Teddy Bruschi did it, we'd be praising him, so I'm going to praise Cunningham.
Oh,
exactly.
Cunningham certainly deserves no criticism on the play at all.
I mean, exactly. But
he definitely instigated it.
But how easy would it have been for a rookie, to stick his chest back out and put his two hands right in the face mask of McClain? And now it's offsetting penalties.
And we've seen enough of those in recent years,
yes.
David Thomas and penalties that cost the Patriots.
Right.
Maybe they're getting back to the time when they don't make the stupid penalty at the stupid time.
And that's my feeling. My feeling is, gee whiz, guys, this feels like 2001 or 2003, where we're playing close games, we're making the plays, Brady's making the right decisions. I don't fault Hernandez for dropping him. Everybody has a drop. He turned his head both times before he caught it, but he was trying to make a play. But it was the right play. It wasn't like Brady forced the ball to Moss into triple coverage trying to make a play. And that's what we did when we were successful, was find the open guy no matter who it is, if it's Woodhead or Branch or Hernandez or Gronkowski, and get him the ball.
Yeah, especially Gronkowski more.
Well, I'm with you on that. My internet names for all my leagues this year is G-Force. So,
nice. Well done. Way to represent.
That's a PFW original right there.
I got another one for you if you want to steal it. The Romanian roll on the Mesko punt. I'm going Romanian roll.
No, that's good. I like it. I like it.
So, but I think at some point in that game, Bill made the decision to let the DBs be the DBs and tell the front seven to stuff the run. And somehow it worked. Not sure it'll work every week. But all of a sudden, you started seeing McCourty up on guys. Arrington, not quite so much. But at least McCourty, was up on guys on the line of scrimmage, not giving them those six-yard cushions.
And that's what Arrington, I talked to him post-game, and he said that was the difference. We decided we were going to get up and not give as many free releases to guys like Heap and Bolden.
Yes.
I don't know how successful they were, but we've all asked for it, dating back 5 years. If you're going to get beat, go down with a fight. Don't give the guy a six-yard cushion.
Exactly.
I give all the credit in the world to the defense for what they did in the fourth quarter and overtime. They went out and won a game for you.
And I think that's something that the offense can now build on, because I really think, these guys, I mean, they're not rocket scientists, and it is emotional. And, that gets to the Merriweather thing. But if you've got a defense that's going to give up 30 points a game, And Brady's not having an A++ game, they pretty much know they're going to lose that game. But if they have a defense that can actually, they can trust to, hey, we can get a three and out here, and we can come back and score, that makes all the difference in the world of momentum.
Well, Bill Parcells said it a long time ago. He said, you know, it's not like, you know, you always have to come through, but the offense needs to have hope,
right.
You know, and the defense needs to have hope that when they're not on the field, they're going to get another shot to do something. You know, so each side gives the other side hope, and that's all you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we're growing. I liked your analogy yesterday about, well, if everybody's growing at the same rate, then the worst guy is always going to be worse. That's true. But as a 53-man team, if your 53 is growing faster than somebody else's 53, that can be the difference in a game. And I think we're beginning to see that. We're beginning to see a defense that's listening to Bill, for the most part, and actually making themselves, you know, we can do this, rather than, oh, here we go again. Right. Here goes another 12-yard play.
Sure.
You know, here goes another 12-yard play. Oh, look, now they're in field goal range, and they're on their heels the whole second half. So,
all right.
I thought it was good. I think Merriweather, I have four words to say: Jack Tatum and Daryl Stingley.
Sure.
And that's the difference, I think, between Merriweather and Robinson and Harrison. I think Robinson and Merriweather were trying to make a play. It was stupid. You know, Merriweather shouldn't have left his feet. But I think more than anything, if Harrison has the attitude, I'm here to hurt people, then that's the kind of stuff that doesn't need to be there.
Well, yeah.
I disagree. But
yeah, I mean, they guys have been saying that for a long time, you know.
The most dangerous play out of those three plays was Merriweather's.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
that
Merriweather's
was the one that,
not
that was the one that had the biggest chance of ending up in tragedy.
But Merriweather's not shooting his mouth off saying, I'll do it again tomorrow.
Well, actually, he did on Monday. That's what he said on Monday on EEI. I'm not going to change the way I play. That's the way I play. Today, he was different. Which is a credit to him. You know, he obviously learned. But Harrison is just being immature and stupid.
Right.
He's just talking like a baby.
Yeah.
But what he did was nowhere near as dangerous as what Merriweather did.
The second hit was.
No. Guys running toward each other.
Yeah. But
all
anyway.
Right. All right, Brad.
Good show, guys.
Thanks
Keep
for
up
the
good
call.
Work.
Okay, have a good week. By the way, the three of us. Oh no, Andy, you're not. You're sick. Doctor's orders. But Paul, Eric, and I will be at Players Sports Bar.
Well, that's actually why Andy's not going.
Saturday night, from 6 to 8, with a bunch of other Patriots fans. If you're in the area, it's in San Diego. I think on Claremont Drive. It's called Players Sports Bar, and we'll be there signing. But we will be there celebrating with a bunch of other Patriots fans from the Yahoo Sports tailgate group. So, Brian writes in from Seattle. I started listening about 3 years ago. Love the show. Good mix of humor, homerism, and actual insight and perspective. You guys have access the fans don't. When you bring that to the show, you provide huge value over the majority of podcasts, which are just fans sitting in their living room telling people what they think. With that said, if I had started listening when Brian Morey was on the show, I would have thrown my iPod out a window.
Thank you.
Brian made a guest appearance yesterday. He
started
wasn't
telling us how the 2001 defense wasn't very good.
He wasn't funny, and he brought no insight or perspective. Let me summarize.
Sums up his career.
Let me summarize. This is in quotes. Back in 2004, the Patriots were the number 4 defense in the league. I don't really know that for sure. I think they were. Last year's comeback against the Bills, what were they, 4-12? I think they were 4-12, right? Love that Eugene Chung is playing like a stud. I heard in the Jets Broncos that the pass interference call at the end was controversial. I didn't see it, but I heard it was.
I actually saw, by the way, on that topic.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Hill again was saying how he didn't do anything. And then evidently they have like a Homer AP writer because he wrote it by saying, yeah, he got two fingers caught in the two fingers grasping the face mask. Like it matters.
That's
how
okay.
You pull the guy down.
If you had three, it would be a penalty. I don't think Merriweather meant to hurt Heap. I didn't actually see it, but that's the end of the quotes. Even if he had something good to say, which he didn't, when you make comments like the ones above, you lose all credibility with your audience. He's like the annoying guy in your office who talks constantly but says nothing of value. That guy who
not
will jump.
Like. Remove like from that sentence. He's the annoying guy in our office.
Who is this?
Brian in Seattle.
Paul's new best friend. My goodness.
That guy who will jump into any
Hall
argument.
Hall of Fame material right there.
That guy who will jump into any argument just to be present and hear their own voice. Don't get me started on his voice. He sounded like a guy who looks like a weasel and has bad breath. Wow. More Eric, less Maury.
I don't know about his breath.
Wow. Brian in Seattle just. I thought Brian was fine.
You were wrong.
But Brian does like to jump into arguments. I mean, I can remember many times sitting in the press box when people are having or saying something that has nothing to do with us when Brian has to get involved.
Oh, remember he was press box police.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was. He was the press box police. But do you remember when he first stopped working for us, Fred, and he used to send you voicemails all the time? This is before even people texted a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he used to just call Fred's cell phone, and Fred would be like, I can't talk now. It's the middle of the game.
Oh.
Fred would just yell at him.
Well, the worst thing he would do is a guy would be down on the field, and he's out for the season. He'd send me a text. He's done. It's like, oh, it just drives me crazy. Anyway, well, I love Brian. Tom from Virginia, longtime listener and big fan of the show until Tuesday. Oh. I was really shocked to hear Team PFW picking San Diego for this week's matchup. Ugh. Do you suppose, just possibly, maybe, that your insistence on being objective, unbiased football analyst might be clouding your judgment on this one? Pat's D is gelling. The Patriots are clearly a team in disarray. It sure looks much worse than their usual slow start. They're in trouble, and the Pats are putting it together fast. Yes, you guys said you wouldn't be surprised if the Pats won, but you're still picking San Diego. What gives? What exactly do you see in this matchup that gives San Diego the edge? From my easy chair, I see the Pats an easy 10-point favorite this Sunday.
Well, from Vegas, they don't see it that way. They see the Chargers as a 3-point favorite.
They see you as an underdog.
And so do I disregard? I know we try to weave through coach speak and player speak. Do I disregard all the players to a man telling me at home, literally using this, at home, they're a great football team that can embarrass you? Do I disregard that, Fred? Is that just coach speak? I choose that? That's Lou Holtz talk, and they're not anywhere near. Now, I believe there's a major issue shift going on right now. If Malcolm Floyd and Antonio Gates do not play, I think the Patriots have a very good chance to go in there and pull off a nice road victory. I still don't think it'll be easy at all.
And I do think that, and by the way, when we made the picks, I knew nothing about injuries
at all. I was stunned to hear the Malcolm Floyd one. I saw a little thing about the Gates one.
And that was after the fact. We had already made the paper had already gone to bed.
Like, I mean, do we look at numbers that they have, 21, 22 sacks? Just because it's not Sean Merriman, it's Sean Phillips and Kevin Burnett. It's people think they're not talented. Well, I don't care who the guy is. If he has a 5 or a 6 next to his name with sacks, it means he's getting around the quarterback a lot.
And I'll give you another example. Listen, and we did say this a lot yesterday. If the Chargers continue to play shoddy football the way they have, the Patriots will win. The Patriots are playing very well right now.
But you know what? If the Patriots play shoddy football and shoot themselves in the foot like Algie Crumpler said they did on Sunday against the Ravens, then there's a chance the Chargers will embarrass them.
And
neither team is playing great football. I know they're 4-1 and everything, but if the game had ended, you know, 3/4 of the way through on Sunday, you'd all be bitching and moaning about how the team sucks.
And Fred, you brought that up yesterday. You can't play the if game, but
I can.
How close it was if they allow Baltimore to convert on the quarterback sneak, they likely lose the game 20-17, and then we're not talking about gelling.
No, but
okay. Now listen.
In
the
all
Patriots
fairness,
made the
you,
play.
You would still say, "Hey, the Patriots put up a good fight with a team a lot of people thought was the best in the league."
I would have been very disappointed because I was expecting a home win.
And I think people would be saying, "Uh-oh, the defense wasn't terrible.
And they got all play.
And the offense sucked. Is this the post-Moss offense? We're not going to score enough points. This is how we lose."
That to me was the line of demarcation in that game when they made that stop on 3rd and 1. The Patriots dominated the remainder of the game. To that point, I felt Baltimore really controlled the game. Dominated? No. They controlled the game from start to the midway point of the fourth quarter.
I'm not sure the Patriots dominated the rest of the way. I'm sorry, but
their defense did.
People would have said, how many chances does that offense need to get the win?
We
didn't need that many chances with Moss. I think you would have looked at this game so differently. You would have broken down facts, figures, numbers. We're all praising the defense for giving the offense extra opportunities and winning. But if you lose, people are going to say,
how many chances does Brady need to win?
I know, but you also got to give the Patriots
such
credit.
I give them all the
you know,
credit.
Going into the game, people were like, oh, they lost Moss. What are they going to do? They don't have the, you know.
And all of those fears were realized. This is our point.
No, but
the defense stepped up and won the game for you.
didn't I pick the Ravens? I mean, the Patriots to beat the Ravens?
And I picked the Patriots,
so going
too.
Into the game, I picked the Patriots to win. I thought they would do something. All I'm saying is,
I thought
if you
they would
lose this
too.
Game the way it played out, you're kind of bitching about some of the problems. And one of which is, in the post-Moss era, we got five opportunities and couldn't score and win the game.
And specifically, the emailer asked, and I understand, listen, we picked the Chargers, and people are upset about that. I understand that.
I think they're less upset with bewildered.
Well,
That's the way I was.
This is what I don't get. They asked for some reasons, okay? Well, what's one of the biggest problems that the Chargers have had so far is they're having trouble protecting Phillip Rivers.
Right.
What's the thing that the Patriots defense has had the toughest time doing so far?
Yeah, but
applying pressure to quarterbacks.
And by the way, Marcus McNeil may be better a week back into his tenure.
So my point is, yes, that's derailed their offense consistently all year. Will the Patriots defense be able to take advantage of that weakness to the point where you can neutralize it? Maybe they do. Maybe they will.
Four other teams have already.
But the Patriots haven't done that to anybody.
But you know, it's not like Rivers isn't throwing. He's ahead of his own pace.
They're turning the ball over on strip sacks on a consistent basis.
So why?
If the Patriots don't force a strip sack, maybe they don't turn it over and they score. That's my point.
I mean, the Chargers are 2-4 against
bad teams.
Right. And the Patriots aren't a bad team.
But they're 2-0 at home.
Well, you know, I just think right now, I think you thought that was a good spot for the Patriots last week.
I think it's a great spot
for the Patriots this week. The way San Diego's playing.
I think the Chargers are a wounded animal at home.
If you're right,
can
they do anything about
that? You either need to shoot them early or I think you might be in trouble.
So you think the Chargers stink then?
I think right now this is a good spot for the Patriots.
Okay, well, I think that the Chargers are a talented team that has played badly. There's a difference.
Okay.
You think they stink. I think that they have
talent. So if the Patriots
talent.
Were going to Dallas this week, would you say the Cowboys should be favored?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean,
do you not think so there's a dramatic road
It doesn't
home
matter
difference?
How the team is playing. If they have more talented players, you think they should always win?
No, listen.
That doesn't happen in the NFL.
It doesn't happen.
Isn't
it didn't
a
happen
huge
on Sunday.
Road home divide? The What's Patriots that? Were a good home team last year and stunk on the road. The Chargers right now are a home team playing well and a road team that's embarrassing. Is there no divide there? Do you never pay any credence that a trend like
sure,
that can be
legit? That's why the Chargers are 3-point favorites, because it's at home.
Maybe that's why I picked the Chargers.
You know?
But that's all.
We're just saying there are reasons to pick the Chargers.
Absolutely.
Other than just pure negativity.
But that's my point. And I'm not going to sit there and say, there's no chance the Patriots have of winning this game. That's stupid. Patriots are playing great right now. If they could keep that going. Now, I'm not going to get lost in I've run out of accolades for the defense on Sunday, okay? But let's break it down. They played three shoddy quarters of defense and 1.5 great quarters of defense, right?
No, that's fair.
So, I mean, they had something like 350 yards they allowed and 20 points in the first three quarters. And I say three quarters because they scored a touchdown in the first play of the fourth quarter. That drive took place in the third quarter. So that's all I'm saying is I think that San Diego has some talent. Now, again, I've said this 16 times yesterday. If San Diego continues to play the way they've played, the Patriots will win this game.
Can I play the role
of... And for some reason, you believe that all of a sudden they're not going to.
I believe that they're too talented to keep playing that way. And they haven't played that way in their two home games.
Okay.
They've blown teams out at home.
And are we ready to just put the Patriots skeletons on the road in
no.
bury them?
I mean, no, absolutely not. All right.
I just ask one wise-ass question?
Go ahead.
I want to play the role of a WEEI whiner caller and say, at 12:47, did Fred Kirsch say Phillip Rivers is ahead of his own pace? What does that mean?
No, I mean, as far as, you know, the most yards he's ever passed for in a season, and he's a good quarterback, so it's not like... You know, he never had a good season before. He's like blowing his own records
but
out
Fred,
of, you know.
Don't you think that some of the yardage totals are the result of the ridiculously bad play that they've had that have made them throw the ball more than they want?
Whatever it is, Paul, they're not playing well.
At home.
I understand that, but you're talking about how many yards he's throwing for. If they can't win when he's doing that, well,
no,
they might
you
be
pointed
a
to that. You said, look at all the yards that he's passing, and the one thing that the Patriots can't do is defend the pass.
No, he
and
said the one thing they can't do is get pressure on him, and the one area they're struggling
thank
is pressure
you.
On the quarterback.
That's what I said. Not the other thing. I said nothing about the yards that he's thrown for. I said nothing about them being ranked one on offense and one on defense. You're talking about all the stats. I'm talking about they keep playing badly. They keep turning the ball over at bad times. They keep allowing punt returns for touchdowns.
That's what bad
teams
do.
They keep allowing block kicks. At some point, I think they clean that up.
Okay.
The two home games, they've cleaned that up.
Okay.
The four road games, they've made all those mistakes. Oh, that's the way they've played so far. Again, if they do that on Sunday, the Patriots will beat them again.
It is what it is. Matt from Oregon is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing?
Matt? You guys, wow, I got through really fast and in the middle of an argument.
That's because they're both eating now. That's why they stopped arguing.
How's the MMA? How's the MMA?
I haven't been able to train nearly as much as I'd like to, but it's going all right. Big fight this weekend. Want to see Brock Lesnar lose.
Oh, he's fighting this weekend?
Yeah.
To who?
He's fighting
against who?
Cain Velasquez.
And why do you want to see him lose? Oh, because
he's a jerk.
Plus, he's a fraud MMA guy who came late to the show. Is that...
Yeah, but I mean, he's obviously good. He's just a jerk about it. You know, he's arrogant and he's he's an SOB basically.
Okay.
So I'd like to see him get knocked off his perch. But
I would never bet against him because he's a big, athletic dude.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, as big as he is, he moves like a much smaller man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the combination. I don't know how good he is at all your MMA stuff, but just big and fast and athletic. I'll take Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I mean, he deserves to be the champion, which is even more impressive because he's only been doing it for a few years,
right.
You know. But the wrestling background is huge. I mean, you know, not the WWE wrestling, the actual wrestling.
No, the real wrestling. No, I understand.
Guys, wrestlers make great fighters, basically.
So what do you got Patriots-wise?
Yes. I know the whole, you know, Brandon Merriweather thing has been beaten to death at this point, but I just wanted to chime in with my own two cents.
Yep.
And, talk about a guy I used to play rugby with in college, and we used to call him Snot Bubbles. That was his nickname, because when he hit people, he hammered them, and you knew, I mean, guys got up slow, guys, you know, definitely tried to avoid him, you know, from that point on in the game. You know, this guy was like a tone setter, like you guys were talking about yesterday.
Yep.
But when he hit people, he hit them in the gut, and that's why we called him Snot Bubbles, because, you know, you get hit so hard in the gut that you'd have snot bubbles come out your nose,
right.
You know?
See,
and,
that's what I'm looking
this,
for. That's the kind of tone setter I think can still succeed and be a part of modern-day NFL football. Hits in the gut, hits in the chest, hitting the, you know, that area. I think you can still have the same impact. You know, it may be harder because I think a smaller guy can't necessarily do it to a bigger guy like he can if he tries to take his head off.
But
I think there's still a place for that in the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I just wanted to share that little story because that's the first thing I think of every time I see Brandon Merriweather try to make a hit. Just go for the numbers,
right.
You know, just put your shoulder in his gut. If you do it right, you can hit him just as hard. You can, you know, you can set the tone just as well, and you can actually make a tackle.
But I think
either bouncing off or getting a penalty.
I don't think he has that confidence. I don't know if it's because he's bounced off guys in the past at the pro level. As he got higher in the level of football, he wasn't as big compared to other players as he was at other levels. And maybe he thinks, okay, now I got to hit high at the head because I'm smaller than Todd Heap. I'm smaller than some of these big receivers coming across the middle. And if I hit him in the chest, I'm going to bounce off and he's going to go down the field.
As far as Merriweather, I think he sucks. He cannot make a good decision. That's his whole thing. You know, I mean, the perfect example is that when he cut inside and the receiver went outside, I'm trying to remember who he was covering. Maybe it was
Spiller
against the Jets.
Against Buffalo when it was Spiller on that screen.
Yeah,
that ended up a touchdown.
Right.
Yep.
And he went, I mean, where did you think you were going?
Right.
You know, like how was that possibly going to work to your benefit? You know,
yeah.
He does that kind of thing a lot. He makes the wrong decision.
And he has bad instincts.
Yeah, he's obviously physically gifted. He just doesn't have the, like you said, the instincts,
right.
the decision-making capabilities.
Yeah, I am of the belief that he's kind of coming to the end of his career in New England, I think.
Unfortunately, we need him as a body for this year.
Right, no, for this year, but I think he's going down that Lawrence Maroney road. He's never going to be what he was supposed to be or should have been based on physical talent and draft status, and at some point you just cut bait.
I predict he'll have at least one interception this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, but will it be a play that he made on the ball? Or will
I'm not saying that.
Or did the ball bounce off his chest?
I'm not saying that makes anything Andy is saying wrong, but I'm just saying he'll have an interception this weekend.
Yeah, he might.
And then he'll celebrate like he's God's gift to the game.
Rivers is due to overthrow one. That's the way he'll get an interception.
Good call, Matt. That is what he will do. He actually did it when he was standing over Derek Mason on the sideline.
Oh, God. Did you not just want to smack him when he did that?
Yep. Just doesn't get it and never will.
Nope. Does not understand.
All right, Matt.
But that's all I got for you. Thanks, guys.
See
you, Matt. Matt from Oregon chiming in. Good to hear from Matt, our Elk Burger chef.
Elk Burger.
Rich in Minneapolis needs to rant. He says, I want to start by saying the amount of concussions this year seems way, way more than any other year before, so something needs to be done about these cheap shot hits. With that said, I really don't think it's a good idea to give the refs more leeway to eject players based on the hits. I know they already have that power, but now that we start giving suspensions based on hits, we are turning over much more power to the refs. Who's to say some team with no moral value, like the Jets, don't take advantage of this?
Is that you or him?
That's him.
Okay.
Let's say Troy Polamalu was absolutely owning the Jets' offense. Who's to say they don't send one of their receivers out and have him fake a head injury at the slightest contact in order to get Troy out of the game? All of a sudden, the NFL is no better than soccer, and guys are taking dives and faking injuries. Don't get me wrong, I think suspensions should be handed out, but after the game is over, once the plays in question can be reviewed and then determine the intent of the hit. Thanks for letting me rant, but this needs to at least be considered before we ruin the game. I agree, and I think the league also agrees with you. I think they are talking about reviewing it and handing out suspensions after the game. The ref does have the power to eject during the game, but it would have to be so flagrant. You know, all the faking in the world wouldn't make a ref eject a guy during the game.
And they're flagging, fining, and suspending based on the hit, not the result of the hit. They're not. You can't fall down in front of Troy Polamalu and say he hit me in the head. They're finding the hit, the actual physical act. Did the helmet hit the helmet? Did the guy launch? Not the result. Oh my God, the guy faked an injury.
Yeah, this isn't Derek Jeter, right?
Yeah, I mean it's about the actual event,
right?
Not the concussions thing. I don't necessarily know that I agree with. They're looking for concussions now when they didn't look for them before. I don't know that there's any more actual guys being hurt. It's
more
guys being reported as hurt.
I agree with Andy on that.
They're looking for them. They're
aware. And
that's a good
thing. And
that's
a
very good thing. But I don't necessarily tie the two things together, that there are more violent head-to-head blows and more concussions. I think those are two separate issues. Both big issues that need to be addressed, and I think the league is doing a good job now finally addressing both.
Ross from Glasgow says, Fred, I hope you got to the toilet in time. You might want to make sure the mic is definitely off when making some statements.
I'm not sure Andy's going to make it.
Yeah, Andy, you've been really coughing up a lung today.
I have a lot of issues.
Fred, I was just wondering what you all thought of Telly Bannekane's recent roles. He's been awfully quiet the last two games, and really since he was benched after that personal foul tackling someone who was out of bounds, the dude is making a lot of money to be a situational pass rusher.
It's funny. We discussed this in the middle of the game on Sunday and said all offseason we thought that Telly Bannekane should be a rotational, situational pass rusher. He's now in that role because Cunningham and Ninkovich are your early down, every down, starting outside linebackers. And Paul wants to know, where's Telly Bannekane? What's he doing? He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was funny during the game.
He's suited for a few plays, and yet he has done nothing with those plays.
He's on the video board, though.
He's on the video board getting the crowd cheered up. Now, did you play hit? Was that hit at home that he got? That was here, right?
No, it was the Jets, I think. I think it was in the Jets game where he got the late hit out of bounds.
Yeah.
He would have played it, though.
See, this is the kind of nonsense. If I could only harness it for good.
Right. Stripper says that Harrison from the Steelers was excused from practice today.
Yeah.
And his agent says he's still contemplating retirement.
You know what I say? Go and retire. Give back your $50 million bonus. Stop whining.
I'll give Merriweather credit.
You're exaggerating, Paul.
Merriweather's at practice today.
Whatever the bonus was, give it back. Don't play. Listen, what is, you know, is it like 2% of the public that is talented enough to play in the NFL? I mean,
is it that much?
This is an elite group of athletes. Not everybody can do what you're doing. Is it really that hard for you to play within the rules?
And until he was on the program, he couldn't either, probably.
Probably.
I mean, seriously, I have no sympathy for James Harrison at all. I have
allegedly.
I have respect for him as a player, but I have no sympathy for him whatsoever, the way he's acting. This is childish. This is what I expect out of my son, Will. I mean,
by the way, he was actually excused?
I guess so.
Yeah, he had like a big heart-to-heart with Tomlin.
But, like, no, you're not excused. You're under contract.
Right.
You're right.
You're absolutely right.
Get over it. Fell off the horse.
Stop.
Get back on it.
Whining.
I mean, If you think the fine was excessive, you have an avenue to appeal it. You do that. That's fine. But get out there and practice. You know.
Yeah, that's weird. thinking about retirement, you're already retired.
Maybe he's got a headache.
Just play within the rules. Is it that hard?
Well, yes, because a lot of people aren't. So apparently it is.
Alex from Georgia, I thought the Patriots defense looked good this past Sunday. And no, Andy, you weren't the only one that had faith in the defense.
I was the only one who was saying it last week.
I
didn't hear one of you
that,
people.
But Fred rarely reads my emails anymore.
I'm with you then.
I'm kind of disappointed that Darius Butler isn't playing much. I would have figured that he would have been thrown in more after the bye week. Is it injury related, perhaps?
That I know of.
I think they will beat the Chargers. Malcolm Floyd is probably out, and Gates is a toss-up right now. I'm thinking 31-20 Patriots. As far as Merriweather, I'm just about as much a homer as Fred is. That's Homer, Andy. And my girlfriend was even surprised that I said Merriweather should have been suspended for that hit. If by chance law firm rushes for 1,000 yards this season, do the Patriots really look high in the draft for another running back?
Yep.
I don't think he is a true number one back, but he has done pretty good. Other than the Ravens game.
He'll make a nice compliment part of the committee. The Woodhead and the Kevin Falk role, the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in his little role, and then some top flight first or second round pick to develop into a lead back.
Dave in Alexandria believes that he has a solution to the violent hits other than money and suspensions. He says, let me start by saying I know the NFL won't adopt this idea, but I thought it was an interesting solution to discuss. A former NFL player mentioned that if the NFL really cared about player safety and wanted to fix the violent hit problem, the best strategy would be to increase the width of the field a few yards on either side. Over the past 30 years, the players have gotten larger, faster, and stronger, and as a result, hitting has become commonplace, and tackling fundamentals are less and less utilized. But if you increase the width of the field, you give the receivers and runners more room to move. Tackling fundamentals suddenly become a priority because a missed tackle could be a much more serious error. It forces guys to wrap up and tackle because defensive help wouldn't be as close. Again, there is no chance I think the NFL would consider changing the size of the field, but after thinking about it, it did sound like a damn good solution to everyone's arguments. Fred, keep up the good work. Kirschwords is hilarious. If only we had an audio stream of you watching the game, it would be the best radio ever. On that note, is there any chance we could ever get a PFW session of you guys watching a game live, or does the NFL prohibit stuff like that? We'd have to be in our own booth because you're not really allowed to chatter in the press box.
Never stopped us before.
No, but
we talk pretty much.
We're
nonstop
low.
All game.
We'd have to be talking into microphones. It's
I
not a bad
to
idea,
a test
though.
To see how much people could hear of us, like down in the front row. I've always wondered that if anyone hears what we're saying.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I've seen some.
That's kind of
nasty people. You know, people looking back with nasty looks.
That's interesting. His idea, because I believe I read a story once. That was considered in the early 1900s for football, and one of the reasons they didn't do it is because Harvard had built the first like real stadium concrete, and they didn't have room to widen the field. You know, they would have had to basically knock down the stadium and start over or whatever, and that kind of squashed that. And I believe the passing game kind of ensued out of that later, that a way to spread people out and kind of do some different things, because early on, it was just all guys lined up, banging heads, killing each other at the ball, essentially. And the passing game spread it out. But it's funny that we have the same idea 100 years later that, whoa, we'll widen the field and it'll spread things. I don't think it would do much, personally. These hits are happening in open space.
Yeah, well, do we hear about it in Canadian football?
Do I hear anything about Canadian
That's
football?
That's true.
Cameron Wake had 50 sacks over two seasons, and I'd never heard of him until he got to the Dolphins.
TG and NJ, I love it. You guys pick against the Pats and everyone hates you and yells at you, and then you pick the Pats to win and everyone says you're idiots.
Right, exactly.
You can't win. Priceless. Guess that makes sports talk go around.
Yes.
I don't know what to expect this weekend. One factor I would bring up is it's the first West Coast road game for our rookies. Do you think that could be an issue?
Sure. I think it's an issue. Long travel away from home is an issue.
Hey, let me bring something else up that is a possibility. I'm not saying it's a huge element, but might some of those young defensive guys be feeling pretty good about themselves today?
I doubt it.
No?
I think they've probably been bitch slapped. Humble pied, if you will.
Okay.
I think there was plenty of humble pie to serve after that game. You know, it ended well and everything.
I know that. But I'm just wondering if maybe they, you know, they're feeling, hey, listen, we're coming together. You know, all the stuff that Wilfork said after the game. You know, we're listening to the coaching and everybody's doing their own job and not worried about doing too much and blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, we could do this. We can do that. All of a sudden you go out there and you're not maybe necessarily having the same intensity level. I don't know.
Certainly plausible.
Young. I mean, it's a young team. Like the emailer said, it's a young team going out to the West Coast for the first time. It's hard. It's not an easy game.
No.
It's not an easy game to play.
It's easier to lose than it is to win.
No, I'm talking about the Chargers specifically. It's not an easy team to play
in the National Football League, where all 32 teams are the exact same.
Okay.
John writes in, I'm in Phoenix, and I listen to the podcast 7 days a week, some shows twice or more.
Loser.
Regarding the Tuesday and continuing on to today with all the reports, I think the ruling on helmet-to-helmet and the vicious hits leading to suspensions and fines is fine. When you see helmet-to-helmet big hits, it evokes a different emotion as a fan. With the changes, hopefully it will bring back the most sought-after big hits, in my opinion, as a fan, to watch a defender lower a shoulder and blow through the guy's chest like aliens and trying to get back in. Everyone cringes when you see a guy get hit in the head intentionally or not and be slow getting up. When you see someone get blown up, regardless of it being your team or not, and it's because the defender wants to crush him and blows him back 3 yards, and it's with a clean, well-trained hit, that's what makes the fans fun, makes the game fun to watch from a primitive aspect.
I agree.
100%. Sorry for the veal formatting and running together. It's on my phone. But wanted to give another opinion on it. You guys do an awesome job, and you make it bearable to be a lifelong Pats fan in Phoenix with all the bandwagon jumpers we have here.
That's a great point because early in the year, Patrick Willis, I thought, owned Reggie Bush in a, I think it was a Monday or a Sunday night game between those two teams. Big hits. I didn't hear one person question him because he put his shoulder right into his chest. I remember a hit a couple of years ago that I believe Reggie Bush got blown up by, I don't know, I'll give Ray Lewis credit, it might not have been him. You see those hits, to me, those are more impressive. When you can do basically a fundamental tackle with a hit, you know, the old, basically you're picking him up, driving him back. To me, those are more impressive than launching yourself into a head and getting lucky. Because I see these guys, for as much as we make about when they make contact, they miss far more often. They don't make contact. It's a glancing blow, or they go over the top or whatever. To me, it's far more impressive, as he says, to do the real thing.
Who's he?
I don't know, Veal, the guy who, Veal formatting. is that what he said, Veal?
I think so.
V-E-A-L, yeah. Like Parmesan?
Mm-hmm.
It's far more impressive for me to do that because, again, that gets back to man versus man. There's no sucker punch mentality to it. Oh, I'm Brandon Merriweather. I'm going to sucker punch Todd Heap because, let's be honest.
That's
met man on man, there's a chance Todd Heap runs Brandon Merriweather the bleep over.
I say it.
And I think that's part of it. It's fear out of the DBs if I man up. I can't man up. I got to take his head out.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. And I know that you feel differently about this than I do because you do like, you know, the
hitting.
I have no problem with hitting and tackling and all that stuff.
You shied away from contact in high school? I sought it.
I'm more impressed with you what? You sought it?
Sought it out.
Oh. I initiated it.
Oh.
No, you didn't.
Anyway.
You had your singlet on and were bent over some guy on the mat, sweating it up with him.
Right.
Excuse me?
Hugging his sack.
Well, that's what he was doing.
That's what they do. You know that thing where you wrap one arm around
grab
their wrist in a pretty gay manner?
I've always been more impressed with the skill level and all that stuff. But, you know, you called it a sucker punch, and I think that's the perfect description.
It is.
What do you see elicit more of a response from the crowd than on a punt return when the guy's coming and you see the guy has the angle on the returner and there's the blind sucker shot and they get like 1/10 of the helmet in front of the shoulder to make it a legal hit, quote unquote legal, but it's for all intents and purposes, it's a clip. It's a hit from behind. You don't see it coming and they bury him. And I really love when it's the punter that gets buried. Those are my favorite heroes that take the punter out on a play like that. Listen, it makes for a great highlight on TV, and everybody goes crazy in the stadium. I'm not impressed by it. It doesn't do anything for me. Watching, Brandon Tate take back the opening kickoff, there's no knockout blows on those blocks. But watching the guy go 100 yards, I do get a charge out of that.
But it doesn't
Brandon
impress
Tate's
you when
skill level to do that.
That reminds
I love
me
it.
Of
Reggie
of,
Bush takes a handoff, and Ray Lewis just squares him up and drives him 3 yards back.
Oh yeah, no, but that's man on man.
Him in half.
But that's there's nothing
to me. That's the most exciting play in football.
I like
linebacker taking out a running back.
I like
and
those plays,
him,
but that's right. From the front. That's
filling
man
a gap,
on man.
And all of a sudden there's a hole and bang.
And by the way, those are problems too, because more often than not, when you're filling a gap, your head is hitting somebody else's head, and it's not intentional. It's a guard on a thing. But
you're not leaving your feet. You're not intentionally going head-to-head.
No, I'm just saying all the concussion issues, there's an inherent flaw with football in that the heads are banging.
Plus, forget about how many times you get tackled and you go backward
right,
and your back of your head hits the ground.
Right.
Bet you that's caused as many concussions as anything.
Significant flaw with the give them leather helmets theory, because then they'll be dead.
Paul's line, that doesn't impress me, reminded me when I was in high school in driver ed with my driver ed teacher speeding down the road. And Mr. Kirsch, speed does not impress me. That's what he said to me.
You have the weirdest memory.
But you know what?
I'll never forget that.
That was good.
Actually, the first thing that jumped in my head is that, isn't there a country song that don't impress me much?
Shania Twain.
When you,
it doesn't.
Me.
I mean, like, to...
I thought that, too.
Shania Twain Perillo over here.
You know, Ryan Clark taking out Wes Welker in 07 or 08, 08, I think it was. There's nothing impressive about that hit to me. He didn't know it was coming. You know, it's what happened. Like you say the Ray Lewis hit on, the Patrick Willis hit on Reggie Bush. That's impressive.
Well, what
that's,
about that?
The guy has the ball in his hands. He's running forward. He sees him coming. That's a good hit.
What about, Fatso on the NFL Network, what he did to the Green Bay guy in that game?
Mm-hmm.
On the kick or the return.
Sucker shot.
Yeah, the return.
Oh, yeah.
Warren Sapp.
Warren Sapp.
A sucker shot.
That one I was lukewarm.
Didn't even know it was coming.
Right.
And
matter of fact,
that was even worse because the ball was 40 yards downfield and the guy on offense was, I think it was Chad Clifton.
It was.
Wasn't really even playing the
right.
ball.
He was kind of trotting.
He was trotting.
Yeah.
And Warren Sapp's big defense was put a uniform on. Every time you're out there, you got your head on a swivel. All these macho guys. It's like Trent Dilfer talking to me about the gladiatorial nature of the game. I don't even know what that means.
Right.
You know, you got to be out there and play.
That. It's a physical
sport.
Well,
there is. And you have to have a mentality of, between.
Head on a swivel.
Between the lines.
How many times your high school coach say,
you're on the pile, head on a swivel.
Right. But to me, the term unnecessary roughness is so easy.
Right. I agree.
Did you have to block the guy 40 yards away from the ball who wasn't even trying to make a play on the ball?
I agree.
No.
For the most
part. Therefore, it's unnecessary roughness.
Well, blind hits sometimes happen. It's not always your responsibility to make sure, hey, you, I'm going to hit you. Turn your head now.
Everybody remembers that first hit in the ear hole.
Don't take it to an Andy Hart level.
Right?
God, yes.
Yeah.
Who do I?
Listen, you guys don't know from getting hit in the ear hole. You just don't.
Well, it happens.
You never played for a terrible team.
Played for a terrible team.
On third and 10 every down.
Actually,
Andy did play for a terrible team when he was young.
Tom in Nova Scotia. Hey, do you guys think that if Dante Robinson doesn't win his appeal for his hit on Jackson, that it will be the end of launching hits on receivers? Because he hit him with his shoulder, not his helmet, into Jackson's chest, and by rules, that's legal. It's as if they only penalized him because Jackson got a concussion. Concussions are still going to happen with legal hits at times, like that one. I think that Harrison can probably understand the fine for his hit, but I would argue it's the one on Robinson that he's more upset about because of the precedent, he says, I think he meant precedent it sets.
I do think Robinson got lumped in with a bad weekend.
I agree.
I think if that happened, if it was the only one, it would have been treated totally differently.
You know what's funny about the whole injury thing? Think about that play right there with Robinson specifically. He comes flying, and Jackson's flying, he's flying, and he makes the contact. Imagine if he went low. Jackson could be in the same position he's in right now. If he landed on he could have landed on his head, face first into the ground, and just gotten a concussion the same way.
To me, that one is, it's a violent sport. There's going to be violence.
That's,
you understand that
not
when
a lot you
play.
Can do about that.
No one likes it. No one wants to think about it, but it's part of the game.
See, Harrison had his head down. Harrison led with his head, I thought. And certainly I thought Merriweather did, too.
I thought the 3 degrees, I thought nothing. Robinson, to me, got lumped in unfairly. Harrison, I think, was overly violent and dirty, and I thought Merriweather's was inexcusable.
David Northpark reminds us that Stephen Neal beat Brock Lesnar in the finals of the 1999 Division I Wrestling Championships.
And he once beat Ricky Williams in high school.
Wow.
And if we're going to talk about Stephen Neal, I shouldn't forget it.
Freak athlete.
I was just going to say.
For a guy that size to move like that?
Has been on the field nonstop all year. And I don't,
That's nice.
No, but we said, how many times did we say, you're already down to Conley, your third guard. Now all of a sudden, what happens? You know Neal's going to miss time.
Yeah, and will. I mean, he only played 5 games.
I'm still a little surprised been 5.
Ed from Reading.
He has missed time in some of those games.
That was just because he needs to stop if there's a fumble or a turnover. Don't try to recover it. Don't make the tackle. Get the bleep off the field because that's where you get hurt.
That's because he's the most athletic out of those
guys.
Yes,
that's the problem.
And he gets to the
ball
first.
He always gets there. That is the problem. And then his shoulder gets popped out or something.
I think he hit a finger this time.
Well, whatever it is, stay away. Run the other way.
He's got a finger.
I would give him
Fred gives you one when he scratches his nose.
Get the ball off the field! They only had 9 players on the field for the game-losing field goal.
The game-losing field goal.
To the Jets, I believe. 9 guys. It's hard to do, huh?
Yeah. That beats the 13 that Tennessee had to lose that game to LSU
a few
weeks ago.
I appreciate that effort. Put 13 on. See what happens.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the Ace Ticket Hotline is Dan from D.C. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, great show. I appreciate the banter.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make a couple points. First of all, I think that I really like this team. I think this team, it has made a lot of great strides in the last couple weeks, as we know. But in particular, I think that from top down, there's some really fierce competitors playing football on the field. I mean, if during that game when Welker dropped the pass, I mean, we know Welker's a fierce competitor, but you knew that, you know, he was really, really frustrated that he dropped that one pass. And, you know, you could see Brady on we were frustrated for a while during the course of the game, because we weren't really getting anything done on offense. And then they changed their approach. There was some misdirection plays and we got the job done. And I'm feeling pretty excited about the season.
I agree with you. If you project what's gone on in like the last 3 weeks, out the course of the year. Now, I'm not really ready to do that quite yet because I think they have made nice strides, but do we say it happens every week for the next 11 weeks? But I agree with you on the competitive thing. I think they've upgraded probably more than a half dozen positions. You know, Brandon Spikes to me is a old-school football player competitor. I think Crumpler and Gronkowski are old-school football player competitors. I think there's a lot of those. Patrick Chung, to me, is an old-school, pretty instinctive competitor. I think there is a different vibe, and intentionally so.
Yeah, I think they needed.
The fact they talked about it all offseason, they told you they were going to try to do it. I think they've succeeded a little bit there.
Yeah, I agree with Andy on all of those examples, too. And that was a big point of
Ninkovich
conversation.
Over
all,
Thomas, I
all
guess.
All offseason. Listen, there was a lot of work to do. There was a lot of guys that I think that they felt like they needed to upgrade, not so much talent-wise, but competitive-wise.
Yeah, and lunch pail mentality and all for one and one for all and all that crap that you hear about and sometimes you roll your eyes. Well, I think we saw last year it mattered for the negative, and this year it might be mattering for the positive.
I mean, that's why, with respect to this last game, I got pretty excited because, you know, there was a lot of adversity there, and they pulled the game out, and I think that this coming week – against San Diego I think it's a really important game for them because it's another road game. I mean, we had a good success down in Miami, but we kind of last year really messed that up. We didn't really show up for the road games, and so I think that's important for their identity. But I think the Chargers are really talented and everything, but I think if the Patriots continue to play the way that, you know, consistently, and they continue to try to improve and with that competitive play-by-play attitude and not make a lot of mistakes, then I don't know. I don't really see there. You know, I don't want to be, you know, too excited, but I'm not sure there are many teams in the league that could beat the Patriots if they play like that, like they did last week.
I think you're too excited.
I mean, I'm just saying. I
mean, to make a comment like that when you won the game in overtime, I think is getting a little bit.
But it's
ahead
a good team.
Themselves.
I mean, you didn't win the game in overtime against the Bills,
but.
It's a good team. It's a team that everybody thinks is a Super Bowl contender.
I'm just saying, to say that if the Patriots play like that every week, I think they're going to struggle every week. I think they need to play the way they played in the fourth quarter in overtime
right.
every week.
But
if
that's
they do
what
that,
they're doing. They're piecing it
then
together.
I would agree.
I mean, in New York, if they didn't play the way they did in the second half, you'd feel better about them. You know what I mean? They're piecing together quarters and a couple series. They're not a finished product.
The potential.
No, but I'm saying
the potential is there.
Right.
I'm saying if they played a full game the way they played the fourth quarter in overtime, I would agree. I don't think there are a lot of teams in the NFL that could play with them.
There's a group of fans standing here, and Paul's in front of them with a hose, and he's just hosing them down.
Does he have a blanket too that he wets down? That's
not true. This is what Brian Morey did yesterday. You're doing what Brian Morey did.
Speaking of Brian, all right, thanks for the call. Another emailer, Brian Morey's return. This is Ed from Reading. Made me realize something. Brian is a lot like Randy Moss. In his mature years with the Patriots, Randy had calmed down quite a bit. No more running over crossing guards or failing weed tests. But at the end of the day, the guy was still a douchebag, and his true colors eventually came out for us to see.
Yes,
the same is true with Brian Morey. Any listeners who didn't mind his presence yesterday simply are those who did not tune in back in the days when he was a regular to the show. He's a ticking time bomb, and it's only a matter of time before his return appearances destroy the finely tuned machine that is PFW in progress.
Thank you very much.
The love of God, don't do it. This is my first time emailing this season. I felt it was necessary to chime in today as a public service.
Brian is nothing like Randy Moss. He's never been as productive in his job.
So the talent level there is just
not
so
even close.
Vast.
Wow. A lot of anti-Morey.
The talent difference.
Coming in.
There's a groundswell of
support. Wait a minute. More Eric, less Morey. That was the
we finally found
the message
what
of the day, Eric.
Good, Eric. It's Brian Morey.
Yes.
Speaking of fan favorites,
she's
Eric's here
girl.
With a denim. Is this a new denim jersey? I haven't seen you wear this.
It's not a jersey. It's just a shirt.
And you have Zig-Tech sneakers on,
so they're not denim.
Fred, I have no problem with the term.
You wore denim last Wednesday and said that you had given up. So don't start.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing denim jeans. I'm wearing a denim shirt.
You have a T-shirt that tells us fall is here.
Yes, it does. That's
you don't
very good.
Button the buttons on your collar.
I didn't on this particular one.
You ever think of wearing a little
Andy
beret?
Andy Rooney just showed up. Do I ever what?
Think of wearing a beret. I think you would look good with
that'd
a little.
That'd be Bergay.
No. A beret like tilted a little bit.
Why? Because I'm an artist and I speak French and all that.
Yeah. Speak French.
Isn't that supposed to be love?
Is that champagne?
Well, I just had a spit take.
Good, Eric. Good.
That was good. One of your better lines.
So what do you got, Eric?
All right, practice. A little bit of a change up today, Fred.
Dang. No pants.
They had shells. Man. Shells and shorts on a Wednesday.
I saw people putting absolutely nothing on to go out to practice, so I knew they were going light.
They weren't going out naked, though.
Well, that
they were putting stuff on.
As Vince Wilfork said,
well, you
the most
did say absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a surprise. They're outside, but they had the shells on.
Well, okay. Mike Reese kind of hinted at it yesterday. He said, you know, because it was such a
physical
game, you know, would you give him a little bit of a, you know, break coming back? And
so,
Bill said, we'll do what we think is in the best interest of the football
team.
Yeah. Another little bit of a surprise. Oh, first of all, let me get to the people who are missing.
Black jerseys.
Taylor again. Yeah, we'll get to the black jerseys. Don't worry. Fred Taylor, Julian Edelman, and
he had to go pick up his hat at the cleaners.
Jared Page.
He had a head injury, so you can't screw around with those.
Who had a calf injury?
His injury per play is
Jared Page did.
So Taylor's still out.
So Taylor's still
it's
out.
It's got to be turf toe, right?
He again was in the locker room for passing through from like the weight room to the training room and stopped just in passing to talk, not on the record, but just with somebody who said something to him. So,
but we heard,
we keep seeing him.
Fred,
but
Christian Fourier told us it's the hardest injury to ever come back from because you feel fine. He said they put that stupid steel plate in your foot. It doesn't bend. You're fine. And you get out there, and the first day out there, all of a sudden you're in excruciating pain because it bends the wrong way.
Is it a broken toe?
It's like the ligaments or cartilage it's a softer tissue injury.
So it's like a knee injury to your toe.
Christian said that it's better to break your foot. You heal it,
you heal it and you're done.
But this, you're healed. You even give it that extra week. That's the extra, and then you hurt it again, and you're right back where you started. Mm-hmm. And he said it's like debilitating. Like you feel like the biggest baby because it's a toe, but it hurts so much.
It's really tough.
So it's kind of like the ACL of toe injuries.
Worse, because at least ACL, you're done. You get surgery and you come back. This, there's no quick fix, and there's no known, okay, I'm done. I'm at the point where I can start.
Right, they don't operate. It's just you have to take time off.
You have to get criticized for a month and
being
a half.
Being out with a toe injury.
You got a toe injury. Yeah. Fragile Fred again.
Mm. Yeah, no,
well, it ends like Hall of Fame careers, like Deion Sanders misses entire seasons.
I remember Deion had a bad one. Yeah,
either Tomlinson or Gates had a bad one at some point.
Yeah, I think it was Gates.
But it's unfortunate for him that he gets kind of lumped in. I don't think this has anything to do with Fragile.
Yeah.
Fragile.
This is a spot-on producer. Not only is my mic on, but he's got good drops ready.
This is Doc you're talking about.
Now,
you know,
if he could only learn how to put things on the big board during games, he'd be fine.
Okay, so continuing.
You didn't seven. Think you were just getting a compliment. Did you?
Seven black shirts.
Did you just have your 5-hour energy over there?
No, I had my Diet Coke.
Did you hear me? What? Seven black
seven.
Shirts.
Yeah.
Seems a little excessive, doesn't it?
Well, when you're winning
seven?
In all three phases.
I mean, that's like one out of every seven phases. Players basically getting a shirt.
Well,
that's kind of, it seems like a lot.
If
it seems
warranted,
like a lot.
Who were they?
So they were Matthew Slater, Dane Fletcher,
Ryan
Wendell, a couple of repeat.
Yeah.
Great Dane.
Honorees. Wendell, I said that. Kyle Love, who also got the belt. So he was the champion of the week.
Love it.
Crable, Darnell Jenkins, and Carson Butler from the practice squad.
Okay.
Crable, Darnell.
And Ross Ventrone, Baby Bubba, is wearing 35
back
now because 41 is now taken by Thomas Clayton.
Clayton. Okay.
I was going to say, I thought Clayton was still on the team. Okay. You were confusing.
All right.
Yeah, he's actually on the team and on the
Clayton's
Clayton
been
has been
41
since he returned.
But he was 35 the first time.
Right, so they switched numbers.
There's a reason why I ignore the bottom of the roster.
So there you go. And it's overcast and a little chilly out there today, Fred. Fall definitely in the air.
All right. What's the do we have an early weather report for San Diego?
Yes, sunny and mid-60s.
Sunny and mid-60s.
For the game and 60s for the you know, Saturday that we're there and whatever.
Saturday. Sounds like shorts and long sleeve tee weather.
Yes.
Oh, sounds like.
I was hoping it would be beach weather because I've never actually been swimming in the Pacific. And I was kind of looking forward to that because the beach is.
I hear it's very wet.
Oh, good.
Drilling for oil?
Good.
I dipped my toes in last time we were there. What about shin deep?
Let's see. Omar in Atlanta says, you guys almost sound like the Pats lost
then.
This past Sunday.
A long time ago.
Who said they lost? What are you listening to?
That's what I mean.
You sound.
Brian Morey completely sabotaged this entire week of PFL.
Let me just finish, Omar. Who cares how crappy they played for three quarters or whatever they won?
This has been as excited as I've been after a Patriots win since, like, 07.
They were better than the Ravens.
And now people are telling me that I said it was a fluke. They're saying that Andy doesn't believe in the defense. It's ridiculous.
They're saying they've all been believing in the defense, except none of you emailed in last week.
They were better than the Ravens in the end. That's what counts. They found a way to win, and they executed.
Sure.
As far as the Chargers this Sunday, I defer to one Bill Parcells, who once said, "You are what your record says you are." I think I've seen enough from both these teams to think the Pats will pull off a win in San Diego, 27-24.
So they're 2-0 at home, and the Patriots are 1-0.
Okay, then why do you think it'll be close then? If you are what you are, why would you say a 4-1 team would beat a 2-4 team, 27-24?
You have to ask Omar. I don't know.
The Chargers are, by the way, number one offense and number one in defense.
That's correct.
Isn't that bizarre?
And they win at home.
Right.
And they're playing at home.
Right.
Travis and Tally.
If we're going just by what the record says we are, then should we never... We'll never lose a game then when we play a team that has an inferior record than us, right?
Travis and Tally says, while I agree that San Diego is talented in some positions, I believe the Patriots are the more talented team going into this game.
With 1-53.
With Michael Floyd out and Antonio Gates questionable, I look at the Patriots dominating on both sides of the ball. Quarterback Patriots, offensive line Patriots, wide receivers Patriots, D-line Patriots, safety Patriots, kicking Patriots, and if Gates is out, tight end is in the Patriots' favor.
Did he say secondary Patriots?
He said safety. Just safety. The only two positions where the Chargers are better.
One of your biggest weaknesses right now, to me, is safety play.
The only two positions where the Chargers are better is running back, cornerbacks, and their one pass rusher, Sean Phillips. That's my opinion on talent.
Kevin Burnett.
What's your guys' view on this? My prediction, 31-14 Pats. Love it.
I can at least accept that prediction based on what he said. I mean, you think the Patriots have an edge in every category? That's a score that indicates that.
Sure.
31-14. I like that email. Who's that?
Tallahassee.
Give me
Tim and somebody, Tally. Tyler and
who?
Tally.
Tyler? Who is it?
Tyler and Tallahassee? Is that who it was?
I don't know.
Why can't we never
Tally.
Good email.
And I didn't even
if
know.
If you think the Patriots have an edge across the board, that's the score
and
in the game.
That's the score you should give.
31-14.
Patriots have better linebackers, better corners. Did he list all those things?
Corners, he said they have an edge.
Okay, that's good. That's
they have an edge at running back.
Linebacker.
And they have the edge at that rushing linebacker.
How about inside linebacker? Yeah. They have a guy that has five sacks that plays inside linebacker.
Philip in Sweden says, Eric, denim jeans are okay. Denim shirt is YMCA.
You didn't read my preview, though.
No, I said until this week.
Oh.
Nobody asked for his opinion.
I never heard of Billy Bear until I did the preview.
Well, how many conversations we going to have? Is this the cross?
As many as we can.
The cross segment of the show where we just talk to the guy
diagonal.
Eric's
here. We get a little excited.
All right. Never mind.
With what?
Andy had his chance. I'm not going to repeat the email.
Oh, there was a shot at you that I missed?
Yep.
Worthless.
Was
it good?
No. I'm not going to say it again.
Because I like the creative ones. I like the creative ones and the old ones that just say, hey, guys, and Eric. That's a good one. It's a classic.
It was neither. It was terrible.
Gene in Daytona Beach says, I have to agree with the last emailer. Eric, yes. Brian, no.
Whoa.
In fact, I had to turn you guys off and switch to EEI.
Groundswell.
You know what you need to do?
Run
Start asking
office.
Brian Morey out. On like a Friday night, take him to a bar.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
No, you're misinterpreting this.
No, wait.
How can you not?
You think that he would let that go if I had said it?
Of course.
Please.
What I'm talking about is he'll make you look good, and you might go home with a lady because you're the anti him.
Oh man,
I'm telling you. You know, you travel with somebody.
I
who
need
makes
him to be my
better.
Wingman.
But, well, not really your wingman.
He's a single guy.
Oh boy,
he is.
I know.
And he claims he scores.
But he got his hands on so many balls.
I'm telling you, you go with him and you'll be one, playground, dodgeball.
You'll
be higher on the picking order.
Our listeners are having a good day today.
I meant picking and pecking.
What you meant.
The Brian Morey bashing is warming my heart.
I love it.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on it right now is Big Al. Hey, Big Al.
Oh, been a while.
Big
Al. Thanks, fellas.
Hey,
there it is. There's the dulcet tones.
We got the satellite delay there.
Yes, I'm calling you on the satellite phone here from Slam-Bama-Stan.
Is that
How
right?
How you doing, guys?
Wow.
That's correct.
That's Thank dedication
you.
Right there.
Well, we do.
Thank you for your service.
We do get six NFL games on AFN every weekend, and the Patriots have been one of the six games every week.
Great.
So I've seen all the
games.
Wow,
good.
It should be.
That's big.
Sweet.
And they should be.
There are a lot of Patriots fans.
They're the only one you and I go to the Buffalo game. Every other game has been a good matchup.
Right.
It's what they do is they try to pick. We get two games from the 1 o'clock group. We get two games from the 4 o'clock. We get the Sunday night game and the Monday night game every week. And what they do is they have the one game at 1 o'clock of the 1 o'clock group is scheduled. One game from the 4 o'clock group is scheduled. And then they take an online poll of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines.
No wonder why Patriots fans
Which games would they
polls.
Like to see other than the scheduled game?
Hmm.
And the Patriots get a ton of votes pretty much every week to be one of the games. If it's not the selected game, it will very likely be the voted-in game. So we have a good chance here of seeing pretty much the whole season on the dish over here. We get 15 channels these days of AFN. Back when I was first in this business, we only had one channel on AFN. So we've advanced a little bit. We got a lot more choices
Do you get
now.
HD?
And, say again?
Do you get HD or no? Is that too much to ask for?
They're selling. This is kind of one of these typical military things, but. Yes, they will sell you an AFN converter box in HD, but none of the signals are in HD yet. So
doesn't do you much good.
You can buy an HD box, and it looks good sitting on your table, but you don't. I mean, I guess at some point, a lot of these signals are going to convert to HD, and at that point, you'll be prepared with your HD decoder box, but. Right now, it's kind of a luxury item. All you need is a standard decoder box to get the signals. And they used to be a very much of a controlled item. You used to never be able to find those decoder boxes. You had to know somebody in AFN basically to get one. But now they've just like a lot of things. You try to control something so much, and it just can't be controlled.
Right.
And so now the AFN has just given up. And they decided, we'll just sell the damn things.
Right.
So you can go to any of the PXs at any of the major base camps over here that have a PX and that sell a lot of stuff, and you can pretty much bank on getting yourself a decoder box. The tough part is getting a dish, hooking it up to a dish. That's a challenge. You really do have to know somebody there, or wheel and deal or something, to be able to hook up. I just go to the chow hall is what I do. Yeah. I don't bother with the coder boxes.
So what do you?
I just go to the dining hall and watch the games.
So what do you think based on the first 6 weeks you've seen?
I love the team. I'll tell you what. I mean, I hate to break my arm, patting myself on the back, but I still like to do it. And
so do we.
You know, I've been raving about drafting linebackers basically since Hitler was a corporal. And you know, they finally went ahead and did it with these two kids from Florida. And I think they're both looking really good. Neither one of them looks terribly lost out there to me. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I think
they're basically NFL players. How good they will be, time will tell. But they are certainly not mistakes as draft picks so far as I can tell. What do you think?
I think you intentionally waited till after this game because the Jermaine Cunningham one is – He took a nice step forward, I thought, against the Ravens. Yeah. I thought he was a little underwhelming, a little non-existent early in the season. But I thought Sunday he showed things you say, you know what, this guy might be a player.
I think so. I think he has the potential to be everything that you were pissed off about Adalius Thomas about. You can be pleased maybe with your name, Jermaine Cunningham, as time develops. We'll see, you know, he's got a lot of football ahead of him, but he looks like it. He certainly has the size and speed and the football instincts, you know, to be able to play. I love Spikes in the middle. I think those two picks were great picks. And that Brandon Tate is turning out to be very effective. I loved him on that end of round play. I think we got some horses all of a sudden to make this a really interesting season. I don't know if it's a Super Bowl team, but I think it's certainly a playoff team. And once you get in the playoffs, you get hot. Who knows?
All right, Al. Hey, thanks for calling in. You know, take care out there.
No problem, fellas.
Okay.
I would have just listened to you over the internet over here, but we kind of having a shaky internet signal here tonight, so I figured I would try the phone instead.
Ferreira must be down there too, huh?
Blame the IT guys. That's what we do.
Yeah.
See you, Al.
Have a great one.
All
Have
right.
a great one. Take care.
Al in Afghanistan. No more Al from Atlanta. Al from Afghanistan.
Bit of a change.
Out there.
Yeah.
Taking care of business out
Atlanta.
There. This is interesting. Derek from the University of Arizona writes in. He says, quick story for you. So I'm in one of my morning classes last week, and I'm in a small lecture hall with maybe 100 students. We were giving some group presentations, and since I had already presented, I decided to pop in the headphones and listen to you guys. Then Eric walks in, and you guys ask him what he did that morning. He responds, practice Bill. And you guys all laugh out loud, but then Fred has to say, in Bill we thrust. I laughed out loud so hard, everyone in the room looked at me, and even the presentation stopped. I just stood up and ran out of the room, still laughing, cracking up. Probably one of the most embarrassing but hilarious moments in my life. P.S.
Awesome.
I tuned in, and if you haven't talked about Jermaine Cunningham's progression or performance on Sunday, I am curious on your thoughts. Well, we just did.
Wow. Yeah.
Good timing.
Well done, Derek.
And very good story.
Yeah.
Very good story.
That's funny.
That's a small lecture hall, though. Now, for those state schools, there are a lot of kids that go there.
Yeah. I probably didn't have a single class at Tufts that had 100 people in it.
No.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. Thomas writes in.
For what it's worth.
I don't get all the Mankins haters. The entire situation seems pretty clear to me. Mankins wanted a new contract, and they said wait until next year. They offered him a good contract, but it didn't kick in until the following year, and he got pissed. I thought once he saw several other RFA contracts structured similarly, he would rethink things. He did, but the Crafts wanted an apology after some bad words. The Baltimore game was the type of game Mankins loved to play in, and I think it hurt him not to be there. When he does come back, this will all blow away, and I see him signing his long-term contract and being a Patriot for a long time. So I would tell you haters to keep your mouth shut before you look stupid again.
Fred.
Do you think John Harbaugh goes for it on fourth down if Moss is still a Patriot? I say yes.
He should have gone for it without Moss.
Yeah. I don't know, but I definitely would have. I think John Harbaugh would have.
He's still a young coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he made a mistake. I actually thought that he should have gone for the one at the end of the first half, I think.
Yeah, that was a lot closer to being a first down. They had the review and everything. And
yeah, well, they were both literally a chain link or two.
Yeah.
They were inches. I mean, inches. I would have gone for both of them. I especially would have gone for the one in the fourth quarter because the way I looked at it was, if I get it, I'm probably going to win the game. If I don't, I still have a really good chance to be in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like by not getting it, you lost the game.
Right.
You know, if you were up one and a field goal beat you, I could see kicking it away and making the other team work for the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But you're up three. When you're up three in the NFL at the end of the game, doesn't it always seem like that's all the other team gets?
That's all they play for anyway.
But that's
yeah.
my point. I mean, and I know the Patriots tried to – I'm not saying the Patriots right. didn't try to get a touchdown. They did. But it seems like when you once you get in field goal range there, there's a caution.
You're content.
There's
right.
a caution that comes over the offense.
Right.
Don't do anything to take away
exactly.
the tie.
Exactly.
If we get the touchdown, great. If not – and even the way it worked out, they would have even had more time to go down, had they even fallen behind to win the game. They had plenty of time to get the
yep.
ball – I think he made a mistake.
It was a bad move.
I think he made a mistake. I think he should have tried to make the Patriots make another play on defense.
Dave,
but if you believe Dion, by the way, that was the play that he said he screwed up on, and maybe we don't go to overtime. So they may not have gotten, as you say, conservative or whatever.
No, I don't. I don't think they did. I thought the Patriots tried to score. I'm not saying that, but
no,
I think
I know,
that
but I'm just
generally,
apparently, they had a play that he thinks could have been a score.
I say it all the time.
Try.
At the end of a game, if I'm protecting the lead, I would rather be up three than four.
Right.
And I know that goes against all conventional
worst case
wisdom.
Worst scenario, you tie.
Right. That's the way
Whereas
I look
the other
at
one,
it.
You lose.
You're going to lose. If the other team has to get a touchdown,
they can't.
They can.
And they can't get four. They can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to go for the seven and bite.
And I know it's harder to get the touchdown than it is, you know, the field goal. But
you don't actually think he thought the name Randy Moss?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't think that came over his mind.
I think once that trade happens, when you're a coach, I don't think you think about it anymore. You may think Deion Branch does X, Brandon Tate does Y, but I don't think you think, well, they don't have Moss, so I can
so
do
I
X.
Can't.
Well,
yeah.
The other part of it is, what we don't know is, how did the game unfold to that point with
right.
Randy Moss?
Right.
You know,
does he have no catches? Does he have...
Instead of 2017, was it, you know, 40-37? Well, I'm going for it, right. You know? There's a lot of different factors that come into it.
Dave in North Park wants to know, who is Fletcher? I saw him at the end of the game, a critical time, flying around.
Well, you saw him doing what he does. He likes to move around a lot and confuse offensive linemen. That's just what he does. That's what he told me after the game, even though he's never played before.
I mean, this guy, you know, he showed...
Good guy, by the way.
He
yeah.
showed
the
some
best.
Things in preseason. Very active player. Mm-hmm. We were hoping that we would see more of him, and now we're starting to.
And he's a big favorite of Big Sky Bob, who's a reader of the blog. I don't know if he listens to this program, but he is the pride of Montana State. Make sure you
say
put
that right.
State. You can't just say Montana. Pride of Montana State.
Eric in Brookline, have you guys seen Darius Butler? What's going on with him? How severe of a doghouse is this guy in? Do we see him starting again? And have you guys talked about who's wearing the black jerseys to practice this week? We just did. And Andy Paul, please stop bickering about what constitutes an all-pro every time Mankin's name is mentioned. I know Andy considers only the best 22 guys, and
that's
Paul considers
joke.
Anybody who was named all-pro. Fine, drop it. I agree with Paul.
You're an idiot.
It's a joke. But we will try to stop.
I have no idea with Darius Butler. Absolutely no idea.
I don't think it's as much a doghouse
yeah,
as he was
he's been
taken out of the lineup for performance.
Right.
I think
when
it's the same
Kyle
thing.
Kyle Arrington going to get taken out of the line for performance? I thought he stunk.
Well,
the Ravens.
Maybe that's going to happen. Maybe that's going to happen. I don't know.
And why are they using seemingly more of the safety nickel instead of the – is it just matchups, or do they feel better with the safety players than the corner players?
That's probably
a good question.
The latter.
It's a good question for Bill, but I actually think that they like
– You just turned into Bill.
That's a player right there.
Ask Bill.
That's a player's response.
No,
I think you'd have to ask him that.
What do you want me to tell you?
Marquise in D.C. says, I loved
you.
Brian Morey. He made Paul actually have to make logical and verifiable arguments
go screw yourself,
to the ridiculousness
Marquise.
He sometimes spews.
Yeah, you're spewing some
wow.
of you.
It's not ridiculous.
Whoa.
Well,
anybody
that
says,
none of us require him to make
anybody that
arguments.
Says the 2001 defense wasn't good, that's not a logical argument. That's
and
what Brian Morey
says
tried
Brian
to say.
Brian Morey is logical is an idiot.
Can I get back to the last thing
like
that we were doing?
In the middle of a point, and you're just ignoring it.
I think that Bill likes the physicality that Arrington brings over Butler. And
mm-hmm.
listen, I think he looks at it as neither one of them have covered very well.
So if you're,
but I have, I have one guy's
right.
a good tackler, and
exactly.
one guy can help out in the run, and one guy, you know, and maybe that's why he's using the safeties too. Because
I can pick it off and go 90.
I like Butler. You
Once.
Know that.
I do too.
And I'm not ready to give up on Butler. I don't think
I'm hoping not.
I don't think the Butler era is over. But I'm just coming up with maybe speculation of reasons why he might be using other guys.
Could there legitimately be an Arrington era? Is he the flavor of the month or more?
That's a good question for Bill.
Thanks, Paul.
You know, I never ask Paul questions that at least make him force him to have opinions and responses.
Well, I think that Kyle Arrington is I think he's here for the long haul. I think he's one of the young players they like.
He rose quickly, too.
He's
came
young,
in on the practice squad, worked his way up.
Either.
I think he's a young, developing player that they
love him.
Like.
Him. But I think he thinks he's good, which is fine. But he certainly doesn't.
Listen, at
that
position,
comes with the position.
At that position, if you don't think you're good, see ya.
Right.
Brett in Orlando, I would like to say that I totally agree with you guys about the San Diego game. I am not as ready to say the Pats should easily win this game or be favored by 10 points like that idiot earlier. I think this game will be just as much of a test as Baltimore. San Diego is a deceptive team at 2-4, and they light it up through the air. The defense played two good quarters after being handled the first three and coming off a big home win going on the road. I hope they don't have a letdown. I think the offense will have to have a big week and outscore the Chargers.
And the Chargers under North Turner have historically been a second half of the season kind of team. They start very slow like this all the time, and I'm just worried that they might, you know, turn it back on sooner.
I think this
rather
is
than
it for
later.
Them. If they don't turn it on this week, I think you can forget about that switch. Andy talked about it yesterday. When you're used to turning on that switch, sometimes, you know, it just isn't there. And this might be one of those years.
Like
Fred
when
might
you go
be
in the closet and you flick it on and the light bulb blew.
Fred might wind up being
on.
Right about this one. It just might not be there this year, and it might be what they are.
Sam in Chicago says, I have a question for Eric. Now that the Patriots are showing signs of consistency and talent, do you still stand by the company line that the most important game is always the next one?
Of course.
I don't know what that means.
When it's not the company line. It's fact.
When did this Patriots show signs of consistency?
We start?
I don't buy that part of the argument either.
The last two quarters on Sunday, two quarters a team does
make? There you go again with all your negativity.
Can we start to speculate at all towards the Steelers or our rematch with the Jets? Not that all the games in between aren't gimmies at all, but just wondering if your demeanor has changed as of late.
No, because with this team and this defense, no game is a gimme.
I'm off by a game. I said it yesterday. I thought Cincinnati and Baltimore, I thought they would split those two. So I said 10-6. I think I'm leaning more toward 11-5 right now.
Okay.
So does that change my demeanor? I guess.
I don't know.
No, your demeanor's about the same.
You're always a cranky old bastard.
That's why they hate you.
Who's me? I haven't changed
Who's
anything.
Who's me?
I think we should.
You throw us for a
I think
a
we should change
there.
The name of the show from PFW in Progress to Humble Pie in Progress.
Adalys Thomas going to join the show?
You guys just don't want the fans to, you know, get too crazy in your, you know.
We're objective, Fred.
I would
That's
like
all
to
it
ask,
is.
What part of not getting the fans crazy when I said I had confidence in the defense a week ago when you were saying, not so much?
I'm glad
but you
I
don't
have
this week.
I still do. But the challenge is greater. I think Phillip Rivers is a very good quarterback.
And you don't
I
have
Joe
confidence
Flacco
that they'll come through.
Is this game at Gillette
and
or on the
also
road?
Not
I don't know where the
home.
Game is.
So, so if this was at Gillette, you'd be picking the Patriots?
I probably
absolutely.
Would be. Yes.
Okay. I absolutely would be picking the Patriots
right.
at home.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Lyndon from Colton, what do you think of the job Woodhead's done so far? I was very optimistic about what he would do on the emailer that compared his style of play to Sproles and Meggett back when they first picked him up.
Yep, and I'll say that I was wrong about that
because
I laughed at that comparison.
But I didn't expect this much from him every week. I haven't really noticed, but how has Woodhead done in terms of picking up the blitz and blocking?
Tremendous.
He did
excellent
that the other day, too,
I asked him a little bit about that today because you notice he cut him, which is the natural instinct, I think, for a short player when a bigger guy's running at you, you chop his legs out.
Yep.
And I was asking him if he needs to mix it up, like change it up, or guys will just hurdle him, you know, does he every once in a while just have to get him? And he said, yes, you have to mix it up, but you can't really. You have to base it on the player, which I find fascinating. That not only are you deciding who I have in blitz pickup, but is it Burnett? Is it Eric Weddle? Is it Sean Phillips? Is he prone to, you know, bull rush or spin
Larry
move
Eisenhower?
Or, okay, I was talking about Chargers. I don't know why Danny Woodhead would be, but my point is, I find it fascinating. You have to A, pick the guy up, and then he's thinking, do I cut this guy? Do I go high on this guy? Do I just throw a body in the way?
You were in the interview, so I don't know. But maybe might he have been talking about, you know, you watch on film and you see, okay, this guy does this, so I might be able to use this against him. It's preparation.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying
not
when
so
you're
much.
Picking guys up, sometimes you're offset right and you're picking up the left outside linebacker. So now not only are you're getting over there and seeing that he is indeed coming, but you're then going back to your film study and deciding in the, you know, step and a half how I'm going to approach this pass rush. I find those types of things, those within a second decisions, fascinating.
Yeah, see, I just look at it as he knows that who's going to be coming.
I know, but what if it's Weddle? What if he's, I mean, he's picking up backside. They've slid right for the protection, so the back has the first man off the backside. He doesn't know necessarily that it's Sean Phillips or Kevin Burnett or a stunt or, you know, the corner or Eric Weddle.
Find that out eventually, but it's
yeah, and
split
and after
second.
He finds it out, apparently he's deciding, can I cut this guy or is he going to hurdle me, embarrass me? Is he going to dive over me and take himself out of the play like Teddy Bruschi?
he's talking fast again.
I know.
I find that fascinating.
For no reason.
Lyndon also says, I'll see you guys Saturday. My wife and I are headed to the Pats-Chargers game this weekend for our anniversary. It was her idea.
The game's on Sunday.
And I'll be at the Players Sports Bar Saturday night.
I'll be at home.
It's going to be a big crew.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, is your wife hot?
Well, if I were there,
it's going to be a big crew. Matt writes in.
You probably want to strangle me like all the wives out in Denver.
Right.
Matt says, last week I was listening to one of the radio shows on the website. Can't remember if it was Playbook or Shepherd. May have been Lowdown. But there was someone
that covers them all.
There was someone on the air representing a group of fans of San Diego who will be holding a get together at a local sports
that
bar.
Was this show
here in San Diego.
Air.
All right, I'll tell you, everyone.
Actually went on Playbook too.
It's going to be at Player Sports Bar in San Diego on Claremont Drive, Saturday night,
6 to 8.
It'll probably go later than that, but that's what they get the room for
all night long.
So
maybe they'll have that rock version of that. You guys let me know that. I enjoyed that.
Two years ago?
You're not going?
No.
Andy's under doctor's orders. He's under house arrest.
Terrell Suggs and Tom Brady go at it right now.
Yeah.
Replay of the game on All Access NFL Films Cam on NFL Network.
Little tip by Sean. I was stationed in San Diego for 2 years. For $50, you can get the trolley from downtown to and from Tijuana, a woman, and unlimited alcohol for the night. So
what's that about?
And a lifetime of disease.
Jackpot.
Eric, would it be worth it?
A lifetime of disease? No.
Just for one time?
Well, Andy, you could go down there and get a little of your stuff.
That's not how he wants his first time to be.
TBS, very funny.
Let's see. Larry writes in.
This
is Larry, from San Diego.
You couldn't cut me in my day. I'd run you the bleep over.
I'm pumped up for the Boston invasion in San Diego. This will be the Chargers' first sellout this year, and I know it is only because of the Pats fans buying up all the tickets. Hope you guys make it to Players. We will. Just to let you know, it has been rainy and cold here. That's California cold, not Mass cold. But have Eric pack some of his sweaters for the trip. I'm really excited about this Pats team. It reminds me of the 0-1 team. I'm not comparing the talent, but for me, it brings me back to that 0-1 feeling. It was great to always expect to win, which we have had since 0-3, but it feels good being the underdog again and not knowing what to expect each week. I love the youth and potential of this team, and you can tell that Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, is also enjoying himself more this year. Alrighty then, as Horace Greeley says, go West, young man. That was for Eric. But please bring some sun with you.
Did we address the kids' comment in the press conference here on the radio show? I know we talked about it on the TV show.
No.
But it was one of the first things Eric and I talked about post-game was when Bill said, give the credit to the kids. I've never heard him say that before, ever.
Yeah.
And it was always the players, the guys, kids, I thought was very interesting.
It stood out.
On both ends, I think. I think, obviously, this is a young football team, a lot of first, second-year starters. But I also think on his end. You know,
right? Because he's
now
he's getting older
and you know, maybe reach that point where you just feel different. You're now the patriarch rather than just the head coach or the
everybody perked up when they heard that, and it's like, oh, okay.
And it's just weird. I found it very interesting.
It was also like it was also more like he was more familiar. He's more familiar with this group,
and he likes
you know, like it's not like men or players or like they're like it's a business transaction. Kids, it's a more of a familial kind of
and
feel
and good,
yeah, in a good way.
You know,
yeah.
Adalys Thomas, Sean Springs are veterans. You know, maybe closer to his level because of where they are in status. But these guys are kids. Mm-hmm. They're my kids, and you know what? I like going to war with them.
You know,
they're
my kids. And mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you would feel comfortable asking this in a press conference or what his reaction would be. But I would be interested to ask him and find out, you know, you are taking more of a hands-on role with the defense, you know, with a young defense. Has that made it more fun for you than you remember? You know, maybe that is something.
He's doing more with the defense?
Yeah.
That's the response you'll get.
Supposedly. Yeah. You know, has it made it more fun? Is it like, oh, I'm back
yes,
in the, you know?
No question.
Well, I'd like to hear him talk about that.
No coach gets into coaching, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that'd
be good for
GM.
All access because, you know, Scott Solak has a good relationship.
Don't you think
could ask that?
He got into coaching to coach, to actually coach.
Well, I have some good stories.
Coaching is on the field
and
with
even
players one on one.
Parcells actually told me in a one on one that the best thing he likes about it is you know, being a teacher, is out there coaching. That's the part that's the best part.
A teacher can teach
is teaching.
Homeboys.
You know? So.
And the second note we probably should address before the end of this show
is
Bill O'Brien's pretty much 100% confirmation of his argument with Randy Moss in
Miami. He didn't say it was an argument. He just said that, you know, those things are normal.
Okay, sorry.
They happen all the time.
Confrontation?
Yeah.
Is that an okay
word? I don't think he mentioned any word.
Well, I don't know. What was the word used in the question? Because he confirmed it.
An incident.
Okay, the incident.
Right, and he said that was 3 weeks ago.
And
start
it was
the
normal.
Point, counterpoint now.
Those happen all the time.
That kind of thing happens, you know.
Fight you now.
Right. So.
But, I mean, if it didn't happen, he would have said that.
But,
no, there's no truth to that. It didn't happen.
You know, I read a bunch of headlines yesterday, and it was like, O'Brien admits to altercation. You know, it's like, come on.
He did.
You know,
he pretty
much
did.
It sound like it was this big deal.
No, but it was newsworthy because
it
was the first time he addressed it. And
it's the first time he's talked since that story was written. The question was asked, did it happen? And he basically said yes.
And
he said these things happen.
The Patriots to confirm those types of things, especially a coach. My guess is he got talked to afterwards.
He will not be fulfilling the requirements of the court.
We'll be getting Johnny Rotten, the equipment manager.
That's the second time.
Coordinator responsibilities.
To my recollection, that's the second time he's talked since the start of training camp, right?
Who?
O'Brien. He talked once in training camp and then this one.
He
hasn't been talking
He hasn't done it during the season.
They rotate him through, but he's a mainstay in that rotation.
It just takes it's a longer rotation.
I only remember two guys.
Yeah, there's two or three guys, and they go through it.
I only remember him talking twice. Once in training camp in this past Tuesday.
Oh, I thought he had another
I think he might have had another conference call earlier.
Didn't he have one, and they changed it to Bill Belichick a couple weeks ago?
I don't remember
It was after Moss, right? Wasn't he scheduled? There was one where he was scheduled, and they took him out.
Yes, you're right.
He was going to confirm that there was
a you're right. There was something where there was news, and he... Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was... Was it Moss? Yeah, it might have been
Moss.
The judge, jury, and executioner just walked in, Fred.
God. Christian Fourier's here for the all-access point counterpoint.
Presented by SBLI, no nonsense.
Joel writes in, hey, guys, good show. Not great, but reasonably above average.
So in the NFL, we're in first place right now because there's no great teams.
That was a great ending to what began as another possibly disappointing loss. People are right, though. This team needs to perform every quarter as it did at the end of the Ravens game. Also, did it seem to you guys that on several of those late drives, Tom had a lot of time in the pocket? That touchdown to Deion proved that you just can't give Brady that kind of time in the pocket. Conversely, I thought that when Flacco had that kind of time in the fourth and overtime, he was not being very Brady-like. Now I have to say this. I am contemplating retiring from listening to the show if you guys bring Maury back. I am very serious about quitting. I wouldn't joke about this.
I am too.
This is a very serious issue. I am concerned about how to listen to the show if Maury is going to return. It's quite frustrating to me, to the fans, to everyone. Enough said on the issue. I am picking the Pats this week simply because I have watched the Chargers twice this year, and in both games they found ways to lose. They are not playing as a team, and talent alone will not get you wins. Keep up the good, sometimes great, show. It's Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire.
It's good stuff.
I agree with him on the Maury
Very portion. Objective about his
it's a good email.
Review
like
of the...
Our emailers have been very good today.
We have good emails.
On point.
You know, the fact that they're able to
operate Brian Maury,
the internets and on a laptop just raises the bar of the normal sports talk caller or emailer.
And Joel is absolutely right about San Diego to this point. That's exactly the problem for them. They haven't put it together.
He also watched two losses, though.
This is true.
He might feel differently had he watched two victories.
Mm. Two home games.
Right.
Quick emails to end the show. Patrick says, love your show. What happened to Tully Bannacane? Did we trade him too?
No, we're paying him a lot of money, and he's still on the team.
Yep. And Dale from Bedford says, I noticed that great tight ends in the league like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez are usually pretty well bottled up when they play the Pats. Any clues why the Pats can't seem to cover Dustin
Good sarcasm
Keller as well?
Right there.
I spoke too
that
soon
being
about
said, if Gates doesn't play this Sunday, the Pats really ought to win this game. It would be bad loss if they don't.
So, it's a bad loss
so,
if they don't.
Paul, if the Patriots lose this game, is it a bad loss?
Not knowing how the game is played, I wouldn't say that, no. I would say you go out to San Diego and lose. I don't, you know, unless
but if
you,
you're up 21-3 at the
loss.
Half and you lose.
If you give the game away, yeah, that's a bad
but
loss.
But is he saying is it a bad loss in terms of the direction of the season, not necessarily how the
no,
game
using
plays out?
Paul's little what you thought before the season, you penciled this in as a loss at San Diego, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, in your little scenario.
And I inked
it
in as a loss in the paper this week.
But that scenario that you just, you know, unfolded there, that's a terrible loss. I mean, you, if you're in control of the game and you somehow let it slip away, if you have another one of those things that happened last year on the road in the second half, that's a bad loss. But if you get outplayed in whatever, it's not a great thing. But, you know, you can lose a back-and-forth game and they just make a play at the end and beat you. It's a tough loss, but I still think San Diego's pretty good.
Hey, I picked 11-5. They have to lose four more times, so.
You know, that's good.
You'll never pick them to lose again.
That's good. Fred's now openly rooting for him to lose four more times.
No, I'm just saying.
You heard it here first.
It's going to happen.
Fred
eventually.
Church rooting
eventually.
For losses.
I doubt that they're going to go 15-1.
Why?
Wow. Why?
I doubt it.
This is the new old Patriots. It's different.
Yeah. But which four games are you going to pick them
that's
to lose?
That's the question.
Pittsburgh.
The question.
He shan't be picking them
he
to lose any of
he
them.
He shan't.
Minnesota.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition.
We're going to skip over that game, Andy.
Of PFW in progress.
Yeah, I thought we were looking forward to Moss coming back. Now we're skipping over that to look ahead to the games after that?
Why? Who said
I don't know,
that?
That guy. Veal man.
Okay, whatever. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It's picks day, and you guys already know who these guys are picking. I'll withhold mine.
And they
mine.
Know who you're picking.
I'll withhold mine until tomorrow. We'll see you. Stay tuned for the playbook.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.